Hey guys, welcome back to CollectorCast. I'm TJ from Kumasawa.com, and I'm here with my co-host Josh from PlasticSparkPhotography.com. And then this episode, I don't know what episode number it's been. I was on military leave for a while. Things got a little bit mixed up, so that'll be on the title of the post. Don't have that available right now, but it's episode something, and we have Eric from Madhouse Toys up in Canada. I'm really happy to have him. First off, though, Josh, it's been a minute since I've actually gotten to talk to you in voice. How have things been?
Things are going well on my end. You know, been keeping busy, trying to pump out the photos and check out all the cool new toys and stuff.
Now, just to put it out there, man, not trying to show you or anything like that, mm-hmm. but you actually got a review sample of Fans Hobbies Gunfighter, right?
Yeah, they're, MB04 Gunfighter 2, I think they're calling it.
Yeah.
So the G2 Laser Prime Deco with the black and red trailer or truck paint job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And it looks really good, man. I'm looking forward to seeing your pictures, and I'll get your thoughts in a little while here.
Sounds good.
Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Of course, you're Madhouse Toys, correct? Madhouse?
That's correct.
All right. So go ahead, let people know what you do, your websites, Twitter, all that good stuff, man.
Well, honestly, I don't update my website anymore. I just find it to be not so much. Well, it's a lot of work, first of all. And the way I do things, I post it up on Facebook, Madhouse Toys, really easy. And people just do all the pre-orders there, and they, you know, I post up when I get inventory, and then it sells. That's as simple as that. I don't even have to, you know, post up pictures. I mean, everyone can see the pictures, you know. What's coming in, what's not coming in. The way I do my business is it's mainly for people in Canada, right? You know, I'll never be able to ship to the States because, you know, if people don't know by now, shipping from Canada to the States is, you know, impossibly expensive.
It's pretty rough.
It's just ridiculous. And besides, I mean, you know, the U.S. dollar right now is really good compared to the Canadian dollar, but by the time you factor that shipping in, it's pointless, right? It's just pointless.
Sure.
And, I'm all for, you know what? I'm a little bit patriotic this way. I think Americans should be helping out American shops, and Canadians should be helping out Canadian shops, as simple as that.
I think that's fair, you know, and especially when it comes to things like shipping and things like that, it's just plain easier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. You know, the customer base in both countries, you know, you really should be helping out your mom and pop shops and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, there's no reason for me to try to grab business from the States. I mean, obviously you guys have a ginormous fan base there and a customer base, but, you know, there's so many other shops there too, right? You got, you know, five or six stores.
People doing free shipping and all kinds of stuff.
So. Oh, yeah, totally, right? So, you know, but it's good. I'm glad that Americans are supporting American shops and Canadians are supporting Canadian shops. You know, we don't need to fight over it.
Yeah, most definitely, man.
For sure.
To be honest with you, though, don't feel bad about putting yourself out on this podcast because, honestly, I'm a photographer. I'll show my pictures to Canadians, Europeans, freaking Asians.
Yeah, all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a photo guy. So
if they got eyes, we're showing it to them.
Exactly. Oh. So, yeah. I mean, I have, you know, it's not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that. I have fans from all over. So, of course, people in Canada are going to see this, going to listen to it and stuff like that. And I hope that they get a wind of this if they haven't already heard of you because I know you're pretty popular and check you out because, honestly, you're a good guy and I've heard nothing but good things about you and your business. So
great. Thanks so much. You know,
absolutely.
I try to be in the industry in Canada. You know, I go by the name of Slayback on Cybertron.ca and actually on CW. When I had a lot more time, I would do a lot more reviews. You know what I mean? I would post up the reviews for people, you know, just, and unfortunately I just don't have the time to do that, but, you know, occasionally I still get the test shots from, you know, KFC or whatever, and I'll post up pictures on the website or on Facebook and on Cybertron.ca. Usually TFW, you guys already have those pictures, like, you know, days before I get them and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know,
they're crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how fast you guys get it down there, and a little bit slower for us, but, you know, what comes.
Most definitely, man. So when it comes to, like, the pre-orders and, I guess, test shots that you're getting, what are some things that are, I guess, upcoming that you're really excited from? Because it's cool to get this from a retailer's perspective.
Oh, absolutely. You know what just came in the mail for me last week was KFC's King Gorilla. And okay. I can't remember the little guy's name. But Ape Face, basically.
Yeah,
the horror cons.
Yeah, masterpiece scale. And I have, you know, I hate to say it like this, but, you know, with the third-party industry, it's there's a lot of things coming out. You know?
Absolutely.
It's not a secret.
Very saturated, yeah.
Exactly. So it's, you know, I've seen everything, like, come through. Like, you know, I've handled almost every toy, every third-party toy at one point or the other. And so that, you know, it's kind of hard to really get excited. But honestly, I was excited when I got the Blitzwing, when I first saw it. But, you know, it's a little bit top-heavy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, KFC was fixing the knees for that. But when I got the Ape Face, first of all, it was a surprise, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he just messaged me a day before and said, hey, I sent you a test shot. I was like, great. And then, bam, I get this Ape Face, and it was amazing. Like,
awesome.
I really dig it.
That showed up pretty quick since they just did Blitzwing, too. So.
Yeah.
Or at least I feel like that was very soon. Maybe I have my timing
wrong. And I'm
already
seeing pictures of Snapdragon, too.
Yep. Yes, there are pictures of Snapdragon. Cool. You know, like, this might sound like I'm all for Keith, you know, KFC, and I kind of am. This guy's been doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, he's constantly working, constantly trying to improve his product. Whereas opposed to, you know, there are some other, you know, third-party companies that, you know, they've got something. They keep working it. They keep working it. And it doesn't change, right? It's not progressive.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you're looking at KFC, you're looking at his very first figure or masterpiece scaled figure, since everybody seems to like masterpiece. You're looking at Transistor, right? Mm-hmm. I think Transistor was the very first one. And then Apollyon. And then just going
Transistor is sitting right on my shelf right now, staring at him.
Yeah, he's a great figure.
It's pretty nice.
So, I mean, you see now where KFC has gone to, I think it's, you know, he's made ginormous steps to try to, you know, really keep the fans happy. He's trying to make things affordable. I mean, if you look at the pricing on things compared to some of the other third-party companies, it's ridiculous, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Even Takara Tomy stuff, you know, their masterpiece scaled figures are more expensive than the KFC figures. And, you know, just the die cast involved in the third, like, you know, KFC figures, where is that, you know, it doesn't compute almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much work involved, compared to the Takara Tomy, which is just plastic, money, like it's just, you know, more bang for your buck, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, this guy is really nice. I mean, like, he's really nice.
Well, good.
Super happy to have this guy.
And, honestly, you moved right into what my next question was going to be, and just how you feel about the quality and stuff like that, because there was a time where KFC did kind of have a track record of some iffy stuff.
Absolutely.
Put it lightly, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I'm glad that they're actually making those moves towards improving their product and stuff like that, and not just relying on their fan base to keep buying just because.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this one, yeah, it's and this is the reason why he sends out the samples to everybody to figure out what the issues might be.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you know, well, I mean, he's comparable. The Ape Face or King Gorilla is comparable to the Ditka, right? The Blitzwing. in the fact that he's got a heavy backpack. Mm-hmm. But I speak to some of the other guys who get the figure as well. Ben's Collectibles, you know, he had the same thing, but his figure was top notch. He said, no problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember he gave it a very stellar review.
Yeah. So I got it. Mine was a little bit loose, and I've already, you know, made mention it to KFC, and they're already, you know, I had to send some video, whatever, and he's already on it. You know, he's getting people to try to fix it, right? So, and it's good. I mean, it's, you know, the thigh swivel, I think Ben has mentioned it as well. There might be some issues with the thigh swivel, but, you know, they're trying to tighten that up to make sure that it stands really well.
And that's awesome. I'm glad that they're listening to fans and getting that early feedback and actually making improvements and stuff, because I'm not going to lie, you know, I get quite a few samples and this and that, and there are times, you know, I will say more often than not, to where I'll say, like, pretty blatant issues with something, but then the company will be like, well, that sucks. It's too late in the process. So it's cool that, you know, they're sending it out early enough to actually do something about it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, what can you say? You know, there have been things that I've gotten that are so bad, and then they say they can't fix it. And I just, like, I'm not reviewing this. Just don't release it then. I'll take some pictures for you, but no.
Yeah.
I'm not putting myself out there like that. Like, maybe the final version will be fixed, but shit, it will. You know,
I don't even understand companies that do that. Like, how do you, like, from a marketing perspective, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, now I'm on the same page. But,
I mean, like I said, these guys.
It's interesting, like you were saying about, like, Ben having a copy that had some, didn't have the issues that yours did, because the other thing you'll notice sometimes too, people get, you know, people will review these toys and, you know, just as an example to keep going back to it, like Ben will say, oh, this toy's good, it's top notch, no issues or anything. Then the next guy gets it in hand and, you know, like it happened with Ditka, some of those samples, they just fall over backwards or the joints are bad, you know, and then you have people calling people shills and saying, oh, you're just saying it's good because you got it for free, stuff like that too, so.
Absolutely.
It's a tricky situation to navigate. You want to be honest with people. But if you got a good toy and someone else got a bad toy, I mean, that even happens in final production. Like, what are you supposed to do, right? Absolutely. I've had that.
And, you know, I will say this. It's in my own reviews. It's why I've stepped back from giving a lot of opinions. And I literally just rotate the toy, give you certain views of the toys, go over all the joints, go over the transformation, and keep it pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
make your opinion.
This is the thing. I tell this to quite a few people. It's like, ultimately, if you're going to watch reviews, sure, but take it with a grain of salt. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, and who's the best reviewer, to be honest? Yourself. You're the best reviewer because you're going to put it on your shelf. If you like it, you like it. You don't like it, you know, that's how it is. You shouldn't be relying on, you know, not to poke at Ben, but you shouldn't have to say, oh, well, Ben said it was great, so I'm buying it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
It's I get a lot of customers saying, well, you know, let's say fans toys.
I completely understand where you're coming from with that, and it's hard because it's nice that
heavy toy,
people.
Right? I had a couple.
I'm sorry.
Eric, are you, I think Eric's cutting out there a bit.
Yeah, it almost felt like rollback in a video game or something.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Eric,
it says, good? Hold on while we're trying to get the call back.
Oh, no.
I think he might be.
We've lost Eric.
Internet errors. So, people listening on the Skype here, we've got hold while we're trying to get the call back. Yeah. Obviously, me and Josh are still connected. Eric.
Technical difficulties.
Madhouse, you are killing me. Well, he went dim, his icon did. Now it's lined back up. So I don't know if you guys can hear these beeps, but...
Hopefully we got him back here soon.
Yeah, I just got back.
Oh, hey, there we are. Hey, yeah. Eric, you're live. Woohoo.
Yes. All right. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. It was just all of a sudden you were talking and I missed it. So
yeah, thank
you,
I will say that it sounded like you were talking and cutting out of nowhere. So if you were saying something, go ahead and repeat what you were saying.
Yeah. You started talking about fans toys, and then I think all the guys that like them shut you down.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, damn, those
that's awesome. Man, I just got it. All right,
hacked by fans toys.
You know, but I mean, for me, my Lupus figure was great. Like, it was great. Other people, yeah, they had that problem with the, I guess, the torso dropping down and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, well, that was the only complaint I heard of was because the torso would drop every so often, the canopy.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, okay, so, you know, but
it's not really a deal breaker.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I just didn't understand, like, what people were saying. It's like, you know, it's always one thing or another. Oh, it doesn't look like too much, you know, it doesn't look like the toy enough, or it doesn't look like the cartoon enough, or it doesn't look like this enough. It's like, really? Come on, guys.
Yeah, you definitely can't win. But, whoa, I'm echoing. You hear that, John?
What's up here, yeah. We had double technical difficulties.
Oh, I'm not hearing any echo.
Oh, I'm hearing it.
And I hear a little bit on your end, Josh.
Yeah. Okay, now you're sounding good to me. How am I sounding?
Okay. All right. It's all good. Down. All right.
All right.
So, well, now I have forgot what I was going to say. Okay, but it's a double-edged sword because a lot of these companies, especially third parties and things like that, I feel like I don't know the legalities of it. I see a lot of jibber-jabber online and stuff like that, but I don't know for certain what the laws are in terms of copyright infringement, this and that, how much they can actually make something look like the actual character, you know, because now we've got a Tar now that literally has a Decepticon symbol on his face.
Yeah.
That blew a lot of, I guess, misconceptions that I had about what they can and can't do.
Make Toys Panda Nest too, the tail.
That's right up on my shelf.
That is almost more so, in my opinion.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I completely agree. So it's one of those deals where I don't know if they're just trying to be respectful. I don't know if they're just trying to, I guess, express themselves artistically. But a lot of these times it feels like, for whatever reasons, they kind of go out of their way to add a little bit of their own flavor to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Or sometimes go completely out of the ballpark. Like, look at Make Toys Combiners.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know? They're basically just their own toys, and they're just using the brand awareness to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
You could put them in different colors. They'd be different toys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's, for me, that's what makes things interesting.
I agree.
Right? Mm-hmm. Rather than having, hey, guys, let's get the G1. I know I'm going to offend a lot of people by saying this, but if you want something that looks like the G1 toy, just buy the G1 toy. Like, seriously.
Man, I mean, nothing wrong with that.
It's like, oh, it doesn't look G1 enough. It's like, man, if you want it to look like a, you know, a Lego block, then just buy it, right?
Oh,
but if you want something that has a little bit of innovation to it, you know, some complexity, like, that's why you're buying a third for someone else's take on it, you know what I mean? But, you know, to each their own, I guess.
Most definitely. And Eric, this might just be on my end, but you're sounding almost robotic at times.
Yeah, really? I'm hearing that one, too.
Okay. Just make sure, you know.
It's okay. You're coming through, at least. But
yeah, I can get the gist of what you're saying and stuff like that, but I'm just letting you know.
Hopefully everybody listening is getting the gist.
Yeah, but that's better than you disconnecting from the call. So we're moving on up. But, all right, we've went over some things that you're excited for that are coming out. What are some of the best products that you've handled in general? Like, let's go back to 2010, like the beginning of the third-party boom and stuff like that. You've been around for a while, Eric. What are some of the best things, the best companies you've worked with? Like, what are some of your favorites, man?
Wow, that's a...
I know it's loaded.
Yeah.
that's
a really tough one. You know... I used to like, I still like Fans Project. I'm a little bit disappointed. I won't lie. Very disappointed with, the way things have,
going through some growing pains.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, if people have ever seen me or they know who I am, they'll see me helping fans project out. I'm always at the table, especially as of late. I'm down in the States when we do a TFCon. I'm there with them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, nothing against the company. It's just the product that they're producing wasn't up to par as to what they were doing before. And I think that's made me a little bit disappointed with their product. I was pretty up on the Unique Toys for a while when it first came out. Uh-huh. I know people hated the Predaking. They just thought it was the worst thing imaginable.
I really love that Predaking, actually. I still want one for my display.
Hey, I've got one for you.
Oh, hey, there you go. Ooh, what a coincidence.
It's like, I've got some in storage. But
it has a great combined mode, in my opinion.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. That's the thing. It was just, the individual figures lacked a little bit of substance. But yeah, the combined mode was good, you know?
Yeah.
Their Sharkticons were great. I loved their little stubbies, right? They were great. Although they killed iGear's Sharkticons, which was a shame. I can't say that there's one company. Well, okay, maybe I can. Fans Toys, you know, when they make their small figures, they're like their Insecticons. Great. I just love those guys. Definitely love those guys. They're bigger figures. It's good, but this is my preference. I can't stick that on my desk at work, right? Because it's like people come in, it's like, okay, Eric, you got a whole bunch of toys sitting on your desk. Whereas something as small as the Insecticons, it's a figure, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's a great update, nice diecast, nice molding.
For sure, yeah. You can't be taking Fans Toys Phoenix to work or something.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, if you can imagine bringing in their Omega Supreme to work. That's,
oh, good Lord. I can't even imagine putting that in my house.
Yeah.
That's, not because it looks bad. It looks great, but I don't have a home for that.
3 foot tall thing. That's like a small little child you got there.
Basically,
right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Fans Toys has always been pretty much top notch for me. MMC is starting to come along in their on their own. Mm-hmm. Because I'm with MMC every so often as well.
Yeah.
But they're trying to do something different, which is to me the best.
Absolutely, best I love thing. What they're doing with the IDW designs, like the comic designs.
Yeah,
MMC is probably my favorite company out right now. So.
And it's affordable. I mean, he's listening to people. You know?
That's the other thing I was going to say. When you said about KFC, how he's trying to keep prices down, I notice, for the most part, MMC tries to do that, too. Every once in a while, something goes a little sideways, like Cynicus. But but I know, like, it seems like they're trying to keep things in a decent range. And even, like, Make Toys, too, seems to be kind of following that trend, too. So
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, it's about time. I mean, like, I think we were, some of the retailers were getting a little bit concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a bubble. It'll pop up.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
I agree.
People can't be spending $300 on toys one at a time.
I completely agree. And even with me, on my end, I collect a lot of non-Transformers stuff. It's at the point where my non-Transformers robots are outnumbering the Transformers to a decent amount. And some of that stuff is expensive. So with my Transformers, when it comes to the high-end purchases, like, I got Devil Stinger in today. I opened that thing up, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, the fact that I even had to think about where to display it just made me go, I need to sell this thing immediately.
Uh-oh.
It's already packed, and it's ready to hit the post office tomorrow.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Not that it's a bad figure, but I know that Ultra Magnus is dropping this month. And that's another – I paid a down payment a while ago, so I owe, like, $600 or something like that. So not bad. But that's some real estate on my shelves.
Oh, yeah. Going to have to put in an addition on the house just to fit it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, Pandanus, Planet X Apocalypse, Utopia, Ultimetal Optimus Prime. I've got a lot of big toys, and it's like, holy crap, there's only so much room for, you know. And it sucks, but I had to kind of take that step or perspective with Masterpiece Toys too.
Uh-huh.
Because I started getting back into the fold of getting Masterpieces and stuff like that, and I love what Takara Tomy is doing with the line. Like, I love this cartoon aesthetic that they're going with and things like that.
Yeah, me too.
But I started actually getting them and putting them on shelves and realized, wow, these take a lot more space than classics.
Yep.
They truly do. Like, it doesn't seem like it because they're not that big, but they're significantly bigger enough to the point to where a Detolf can hold, like, what?
Like, yeah, four or five on a shelf?
Yeah. And then, like, when it comes to Masterpieces and stuff like that, you're down to 3-4, you know? So, you definitely got to make some choices, and I only have so much room, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at liquidating classics, but it's hard for me to make that decision, though, because I don't want to get rid of any of my comic stuff. Like, I'm really big in the IDW stuff right now. And most of those designs are based on classics or have new toys, like, in the Generations line that go with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I want to liquidate, but I don't want to get rid of anybody that's kind of tied to that. It's really left me in a bit of a pickle.
But especially when you've got third-party companies like Mastermind Creations, they're doing some of their best work.
Absolutely.
With that comic. Side or whatever. You know, I wish that Make Toys or whatever, they had their Trash Talk, Rear End or whatever the hell.
They never really did anything past that.
You know, those were really damn good.
They were.
And I was like, oh man, maybe they'll do a Rodimus and things like that. Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
they could even have stuck to the little guys. Like, there's still guys missing. Oh, they could have done Rewind, they could do.
Oh yeah. Even all a kinds of.
Yeah, all kinds of the stuff smaller like guys that are
most
in there.
Most definitely. Yeah. So I don't know what happened. I think they're kind of pouring their all into the cross-dimension stuff and the remaster series, which makes sense.
Yeah, and that cross-dimension stuff is doing really well. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't blame them if they're going to put their eggs in that basket.
My only problem, and I don't know if you guys agree, disagree, let me know, with the cross-dimension line right now is that it's kind of getting flooded with primes already. And I'm getting that same feel that I do from, like, a lot of Mega Man toy lines. Me and you have talked about this for hours,
too many X's.
Exactly. To and where it's like lines just, you keep getting these lines with a bunch of X's, and then the lines disappear.
Yeah. Like, holy shit. I want to see those Seekers come out that they have. With the Dinobot armor. Those guys look cool.
And that's, you know, instead of, like, Thunder Manus, their Power Master Optimus Prime, that's what I wish we would have gotten to see.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, or even their Ultra Magnus, because they had that cool, like, Exia Repair 1, like, the half cloak and stuff like that.
Yep.
That shit looks awesome, but instead, Big Prime. What?
Well, I mean, I can see why they're doing it. I mean, like, Prime always sells.
Does yeah,
it?
Prime, okay. Prime's a guarantee. Yes,
always sells, and I don't know how many people come up to me and say, yeah, I collect just Prime.
Yep.
So, that's fair. Okay, right? So, yeah,
people,
I mean,
people who collect single characters, Optimus Prime, I'll bet, is the number one.
It makes sense.
Probably, yeah. Although Nemesis Prime comes, like, pretty close.
Yes, yeah. Well, but that's still Optimus Prime. It's just black. It's still Optimus Prime.
I mean, like, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I guess that they're just going for the major money makers, which, you know, it's going to cover your costs, for sure.
Well, and it makes sense, too, because, like, as you said, with Nemesis Prime, every time you make a Prime, you've got a guaranteed cash-in black repaint every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet we'll even see that with that Thunder Manus. You'll get a black Jinrai and all kinds of other stuff out of it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's actually
easy reuse.
Thunder Ibris. That's the first one that's coming out. They're actually coming out with a black.
Oh, dang. Really?
First, yeah.
Oh. See, and I'm already illustrating the point because I want that.
And you know what's crazy?
So I'm suckered right into it.
I'm literally not an Optimus Prime collector. But I've posted on Facebook, I have an Optimus Prime collection that's like 30-plus Optimus Primes.
I was going to say, you're the Optimus, the person who doesn't collect Optimus Prime that has the biggest Optimus Prime collection I've ever seen.
It's actually shameful. Just because I've collected so many toy lines throughout the years, and they always have an Optimus.
Unintentional Prime collection.
But, you know, I hate to say it, I don't think any character looks better in a collection than Optimus Prime. Like, that red-blue color scheme, it just looks great in a group. Like, for whatever reason, the separation, it doesn't, like, get all jumbled and stuff like that. You can still look at a shelf full of Optimus Prime, tell, like, each of which Optimus is which and stuff like that, to where if it was, like, that many Megatrons on a shelf, you'd see nothing but a sea of gray. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. hints of, like, red and yellow and stuff like that.
And a dinosaur.
A purple one at that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, big old Barney.
Oh, yeah. And it's weird, like, with... I really hope that companies like Perfect Effect really expand on this Beast Wars stuff. Yeah. Because Beast Wars 2 Megatron?
Fucking yeah, amazing. Well, and even the official Masterpiece line is leaning heavy on Beast Wars now, too. So I think we're definitely going to see, you know, a little bit more third-party involvement there. Hopefully more than just Perfect Effect. But honestly, yeah. if Perfect Effect just keeps going with it, I'm fine. They're killing it.
And I will tell you the reason that I'm kind of biased towards Perfect Effect and what they're doing is because I really like Cybertronian animals. That's mm-hmm. why Predaking is like
yeah, like my Zoid favorite. Style.
Yeah, like...
Yeah,
they're
I
animals,
agree.
But they're Cybertronian as well. You know, I kind of like that more than the organic look. Or that's just me, personal preference. But yeah. Beast Wars in general, I really like the move. I really want to see a Dinobot
mm-hmm.
From Takara Tami. I'm surprised that that hasn't... Has that been announced yet?
It's Yeah, it's coming. It's the next one.
Oh!
Yeah, it's released, or not released, but like images were... Kind of hinted at and stuff like
that. Yeah, they showed just, like, magazine images or whatever.
Okay, that might have been when I was on military leave or something like that, but fuck,
yeah,
that's awesome.
It was right, like, after Cheetor came out, they talked about it.
Okay.
Although, I just realized, I think it's Tokyo Toy Show this weekend, I want to say.
Is it?
And people were saying that there might be possible prototype photos, but I haven't seen any news yet.
Awesome.
So we'll see, but I know that's where they revealed stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. They've only shown Sunstreaker.
Okay.
But I haven't seen any photos for the...
Oh, yeah. I saw the new Sunstreaker photos. People were happy because they showed that he has the option for the chrome spoiler.
Dude, that's awesome. What do you guys think of Sunstreaker, by the way? I think it looks fantastic.
I'm down. I dig it.
Alright.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Masterpiece figure collector.
Okay.
That's fair.
But he does look nice. I mean, you know, he out of all the Sunstreakers that have come out for the Masterpiece scale, he definitely looks good.
Mm-hmm.
His head.
The one thing I will say, like the one criticism I have, is his head shape seems a little bit off to me.
I think it's a bit narrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's a little bit narrow, and I wouldn't mind if the wings were maybe a little,
absolutely,
maybe a little bigger. Like I think Bad Cube has a better head.
Yep.
But everything else on Takara seems to kind of nail it.
I agree completely.
And the fact that it has a transforming alt mode is really cool to me.
What do you mean by that? Yeah.
So the big thing with Sunstreaker, like, I guess the reason, you know, when Lambor came out, everybody said, oh, right away we're going to get Sunstreaker because we got the Lamborghini license.
Yeah.
And it never happened. And so speculation was that the reason it didn't happen is because Sunstreaker, his alt mode with the big supercharger in the back, is not a real Lamborghini. It was like something that like some mechanic did, like a fan did, to their own Lamborghini.
Oh.
And so Lamborghini wouldn't license the vehicle with unsanctioned modifications.
Okay.
So then people were saying, oh, well, we're not going to get Sunstreaker because of the licensing. And what it looks like they did, basically they made a concession with Lamborghini to still be able to get the licensing. And it actually... has two alt modes. It has what they're calling the real car alt mode, which is where it looks exactly like Lambor, okay. And it has the accurate tail lights, and it has no supercharger. And then I don't know exactly how it happens. It doesn't appear to be parts forming. It does appear to somehow transform, but there's a way to then flip out the supercharger and then change the rear tail lights into the cartoon tail lights,
really?
The same ones that that Sun Surge has.
Okay.
Yeah. So it technically has two alt modes.
Gotcha.
It's pretty interesting. And then now it looks like it has chrome options, too.
Pretty exciting. Right.
Sorry, I think you cut out a bit there.
Huh. Now, you know, Eric, you did say something there that kind of piqued my interest. You said that you're not really a Masterpiece collector, so I'm guessing you're more into classics?
No.
Oh, okay.
I got...
Still a little bit of trouble
for saying that. I'm a little bit like what piques my interest has always been the intricacies of things.
Yeah.
Okay. So interesting engineering. Studies,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
For a while I was like you know, the master-made figures, right? Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. I was, I don't like super deformed stuff, I get SD stuff. I'm an old school Gundam fan, but mm-hmm. you know, once you get into the SD stuff, I'm like, okay, forget it. Yeah. But so I was kind of skeptical about the, you know, the master-made stuff. But once in hand, man, those guys are bloody amazing, right? So, you know, I've got a few of those, a couple of those guys. You know, obviously some of the KFC stuff, you know, the Fans Project stuff. You know, they range, right? So it's not just about, you know, masterpiece scale. I know everybody likes the masterpiece scale. It's just, for me... Yeah, space is, you know, yeah. is a big thing. Being a retailer in my own house, you know, sure. I've got enough toys mm-hmm. everywhere that to even try to display a collection, it's not happening. In the masterpiece scale, yeah, it is fairly large, right? So,
no, for sure. Yeah, if you're collecting every release, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, yeah, no, it's, I just collect whatever pops, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a cool way to do it.
Although I do have a lot of samples. I've got a lot of samples which I collect, you know. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just what, you know, piques my interest. Like a lot of people have, you know, wanted to see my collection, but there's really nothing to see, right? It's just what...
That's fair. That's actually more than fair. So, I'm kind of saying... I think you might be cutting out, Josh. Are you getting that too?
Yeah. I think Eric disappeared on us again here.
Uh-oh.
Into the nether.
Far and few in between, but...
Oh, hello?
Although, this Sunstreaker does look pretty cool. I have to admit.
Holy shit.
All right, well, Sunstreaker definitely looks cool. We're all on the same page on that one.
Oh, most definitely. So, all right, we've got stuff that's exciting about what's coming up. You know, Eric, you said that you're a Gundam fan. All right, people listening, it's doing.
Did we just lose them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm back.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right, cool. There we go.
Well, I was actually about to ask you a question, Eric.
Sure.
So, I know that you said that you were an old school Gundam fan. Me, I'm before anything a Super Robot fan. Gundams, I have a lot of them. Tons of Master Raid 1-100 models. I've seen a lot of the series and things like that. But it's not really where my heart is. I'm, you know, a Japanese mecha guy. So,
right.
Get a mm-hmm. Robo, you know, that kind of stuff.
For sure.
Giant Gorg, like that kind of thing. How about you, though? Like, where, you know, if there... Are there any lines to where you just have to get them? Are there any series to where you just... Whatever releases as homages to that mecha... You know, you got it. You know.
I'm always drawn to Macross.
Okay.
Like, Macross is, you know, from, if you go all the way back to Takatoku, you know, releasing their figures first, like the Jetfires, right? Mm-hmm. For people who don't know. The Valkyries. Yeah, always loved those. One of my grails that I'll never be able to get is, you know, one of their, the ostrich or Elint Seeker, right? You know, it's a plane from Bandai that'll cost like over $1,000. And I like it, but I don't like it. You know, I'm not going to love it.
Yeah. That's probably $1,000 American too.
Oh yeah. That's $1,000 American.
So $1 million Canadian.
Pretty much. You know what I mean? I could sell my house and still not afford it. But,
Jesus.
It's one of those things, right? But, you know, Macross, like, man, those guys are great. You know, I love those guys.
Every time
they make something, it comes out to be like $300 or $400, right? And that's U.S.
Well, and you got to jump on that stuff at release. Like,
yeah, otherwise it goes up, and it's just crazy. I think somebody's just releasing one of the... The most PETA alpha fighters they've come out with, right? So it's a brand new...
Uh-oh.
Would fit in with some of the old Bandai stuff.
I wonder if you're talking about Sentinel.
Yeah, the bike, right?
Eric,
what's that?
I was asking if you were referring to Sindel with the Mos Pita stuff.
Yes.
Did you say yes? No, you cut out. Hello.
I can't hear. You know what?
Hello.
I'm losing you guys. Just give me a sec. I'm going to walk downstairs here.
Okay.
With my.
This is a 100% successful podcast, people.
Because I'll probably have a better connection.
That's right.
Yeah.
As you can see, we haven't missed a beat.
Hell yeah.
We're doing great. Technology is on our
side.
Yeah,
I hear you guys.
But, you know, all things considered, at least we're keeping the conversation going. What's
your question?
Eric, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What I was asking, the Mos Pita that you were talking about,
yeah.
Was mm-hmm. it by Sindel? The upcoming one?
I think it is. I can't remember. It's I was supposed to order it, and I just didn't pay for it, so I didn't get it. It was just pre-order, right? Yeah. I mean, the thing about me is because I'm doing retail. Like I'm a one man show.
Uh-huh.
Everything that I buy, you know, if I'm buying for myself, then I'm not putting it towards the business, right?
Yeah.
Which it just doesn't work for me, right? So I'd rather just put the money into the business and try to develop it. One of my things is I know down the road I'll always be able to get something, right? There's never a chance where I'll never get something, right? So
yeah.
There's no point in killing myself now when I can get it down the road. It's just the way things are. And if I want something bad enough, then yeah, I'll definitely spend the money and grab it, right? And
sure.
If it's like $300 later, you know, down the road, then it's $300 later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. No, it makes sense. I mean, I got a couple buddies that kind of do what you do too, just selling off Facebook and things. And I know with margins how they are, you know, you got to sell 100 just to buy one for you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants the best price. They all want, you know, cheaper than somewhere else. So,
yeah.
If that's your main income, you got to put it into the business. It makes sense.
Right. Well, it is for this business, it just makes sense. I mean, I've got a lot of other things. I've got, you know, expenses. You know, I'm a single mm-hmm. income guy type thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just doesn't make sense to make myself happy buying toys and stuff like that when I've got so much on the go, right? So, uh-huh. Yeah.
I really appreciate hearing that, I guess, adult perspective.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at things.
Yeah, most definitely. You know?
Well, and I, you know, a lot of people don't think about it from a retailer's perspective. You know, you gotta, if you want to bring in stock, you have to pay for all that stock. So I think people don't really think about that. They just figure, oh, it'll pay for itself when it sells. But you got to front that cash. So.
Exactly.
That's when you're – if you're a one-man show, that I'm sure that's not easy sometimes.
And I can even imagine because, like, on my end, my site has a storefront or whatever. And it's just there. It's part of the layout. You know, I used it for a while to list products that I just didn't want anymore, had for sale, this and that. But it looks like a legitimate store. So people would see that, like companies that wanted me to do photography, and occasionally I'll get asked, like, will you carry this product for us, blah, 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 and just to humor it, I'll kind of be like, how much, you know? And they're
yeah.
like, yeah, you can order 1,000 of these, and it'll be about $10,000. What the fuck? So,
yeah.
It's one of those
yeah.
deals to where, like, even to get started in this business, like, shit, you better have a decent amount of money up front, and that shit better pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's a rough business. You know, it's a lot rougher than it was about 5 years ago when I first started.
Okay.
6 years ago. It's gotten a lot tougher. I mean, you know, this is the Canadian economy. Right. So, I mean,
yeah.
our dollar has just tanked, I think, maybe 3 times since I've been in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've gone through several depression type eras or type periods and stuff like that. So, you know, it's hard. It's definitely hard. You know, when we buy something, right, even if it's a small amount, let's say only 20 units, right, you know, 20 units is still 20 units, right? Uh-huh. I'm still paying a couple of $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
It sits there. It sits there. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you've got a couple of $1,000 of dead stock. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's, right? No good.
Right? Try to move it. And, you know, I understand. People have family, people have kids and stuff like that, food or whatever. They're going to search out for the cheapest price, for sure. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Right? So.
For sure. Like, I mean, going back to what you were saying before, you know, if you can support local shops, it's great to do it. But, you know, a lot of people at the end of the day, it's down to their wallet. Like, yeah. I buy all my Masterpiece stuff locally here from a guy downtown just because I've gotten to know him and I want to support his business. But mm-hmm. I probably pay, you know, 30% up on my Masterpiece figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, like, that's the cost of doing business, you know. I mean, he's right. A nice guy. He'll hold them for me if I don't have the cash when they come in. So it goes both ways. And if you treat your retailers well, they'll treat you well. Yeah. But for some people, it's, you know, I understand it's got to be about the wallet. If you got to afford it, you got to afford it, right?
Yeah, no.
It's hard to say.
It is pretty difficult. I mean,
but yeah. Definitely support local if you can.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, like you were saying, if you're in Canada, order from a Canadian retailer. Order from, yeah, Madhouse or someone else in the country, you know. Well,
yeah, you know, see, that's the thing. I mean, I've got a good relationship with Ages 3 and Up, and mm-hmm. I will send business to him on a regular basis.
For sure.
It's like, you know,
yeah, Boris is a good guy.
Yeah, we just, you know, we've got a good thing going, Boris and I, and stuff like that, and we try to help each other out. Mm-hmm. Why, like, if you want the industry to grow, we also have to help each other out, right? It's a different way of doing business now. It's not the 1940s. It's not the 1970s. Not the 1980s, where everybody's in for themselves.
Yeah, you don't want to bury everybody. You got to work together a little bit.
Exactly. Especially with this type of industry, you got to make it grow. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people don't seem to understand that. But it's in order for this industry to sustain itself, there has to be some growth. There has to be some cooperation between retailers, you know what I mean? You can hack and slash at your prices and stuff like that, but, you know, and I will reference one company that did that last year at TFCon, you know, where he just butchered a company.
Just to clear stock?
Yeah, just to clear stock. And I'm sure people who are there will know, but, mm-hmm. You know, that totally destroyed, like, in my opinion, that damaged that brand. So yeah. Bad. And nobody wants that product anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like, I don't think you were there, were you? At the, I can't remember where I was. God. Maybe that was North Carolina or something like that. But,
I was at North Carolina. I was on military leave, so I wasn't in Chicago last year.
Oh, no, it was Chicago. You're right. I was in Chicago last year.
Of course, that's the one that's 20 minutes from home. But
yeah, I was gonna say that's the closest one
exactly.
to you.
Exactly, and I couldn't make it. Gotta love it. But yeah, what happened?
You know, this very well-known store pulled out a product and just dropped the price down to like maybe about $30 when the figures were, you know, about $75.
Wow.
You know, and he sold them. Right, and I'm
those will clear out.
Well, those clear out, but I mean, it was such a bad way of doing things, and it just, man, it's like, hey, you want to kill a brand, you just did it, right? And there's no sense in doing it. If you've overstocked and you made a mistake, that's one thing, right? But mm-hmm. you don't try to bury the people who are trying to help you. Right, because I mean, it's a relationship, right? I'm helping out third party companies try to sell their product, and they're trying to make me money as well, right?
Yeah,
some money from this. Let's be blunt,
yeah.
Right? So to try to go around and just destroy that company's branding and that company's figures and whatever, you know, it's a slap in the face to all the other retailers as well. right?
Well, so, was it because the products were bad, or I guess?
I wouldn't say they were bad. I wouldn't say they were bad at all. It might have not been moving. That's the thing.
Okay.
He might have had the overstock, but, you know, that's why you shouldn't, you know, gobble up product, right?
Yeah.
Don't be ordering way more than you can just to get it cheaper by, like, you know, a dollar.
Sure. Right? That makes sense.
So it doesn't, you know.
Or even still, if you want to clear out, use a website or something. Don't do it on a con floor.
Yeah. Do something. Make it a little bit more involved. You know what I mean? Just give it some thought, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just give it some thought. I mean, you know, it's like if you were, you know, if you were to take photographs of stuff, or, you know, and you paid a lot for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And put a lot of effort into your photographs, and you're selling it and stuff, and people are buying it, right? Somebody comes around and says, hey, I'm going to buy 50 of your photos. Can mm-hmm. you give me, you know, 50% off? And you do, okay, so that they can sell it at 60%, you know, a markup of 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And that just, like, that's kind of a slap in the face.
For sure, yeah. I had that at a local con here. I went to buy somebody was selling a Victorian set for $70 Canadian. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty great deal. I'll pick that up. I've been holding off because I wanted to find a good price. Mm-hmm. And I took it up, and they wouldn't sell it to me. They said, oh, it's the wrong price. It's not our sticker. They bought it from another booth in the con and then put it in their booth for $150.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
This shit was crazy.
I've seen that happen a couple.
It was nuts. And there's nothing you can do. It's like, you know, it's like the Wild West when you're at a con.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do if someone wants to, you know, say their tag isn't correct. You know, it's not like a regular store where they have to stand by it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, and it hurts. It hurts other stores too, because I'm sure whoever they bought that from, you know, saw it sitting there.
Yeah.
It didn't sell for the rest of the weekend, so I'm sure they saw it.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, just some weird practices.
It's, just, it's dirty.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, damn. Oh, man. Now, before I go ahead and... This has been an awesome conversation, but before I go ahead and close it out, are there any other topics that either of you guys wanted to go over or anything like that?
Here's a question for you guys.
Sure.
With BotCon now no longer in existence, you know, TFCon is now starting to become a little bit more, I would say, well, because they're the only ones, right? I mean, aside from like DairyCon or something like that, right?
Yeah, it kind of is. It is the big TF, the big Transformers con right now.
Yeah, it's now the big
name.
What do you think? Do you think the likelihood of it growing bigger because there's no BlockCon? You know, is it? What do you think? Like, what did you guys think of the fact that BlockCon shut down?
You know, it. I'm happy for the people that run TFCon because more business mm-hmm. is more business. But for me, one of the best things about going to TFCon has been the, I guess, homey feeling and kind of having those familiar faces and stuff like that. You're kind of used to, especially with the Canada one, seeing the same faces and stuff like that every year.
Yeah.
You know?
It's got that small con feeling.
Yeah, huh? Even though there are tons of people there. But it's one of those deals to where, even though it has that homey feeling, there's still a ton of people there. And I think once it kind of gets to that level where it's blown up, it just becomes... I don't want it to become a zoo, because I've been to, like, actual Comic-Cons and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
to where it's just, you go on a higher level and look down, and it's just a sea of people.
Yeah, that's... I would agree with that. My local con did that. Calgary Expo, it used to be, like, super tiny. And now it's like it's in the top 10 like North American cons for size.
Oh, really?
And I honestly hate going now. Like, nothing against them, they organize it well, but the amount of people that are there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's shifted to becoming like a pop culture con. So it's more about getting like actors and celebrities. It's less about comic books and toys and kind of general nerdy stuff. It's more like kind of your mainstream media pop culture now.
You got to try
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like the Toronto Fan Expo.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's like a million people that just roll through.
Oof.
It is an absolute horror show.
That sounds rough.
I can't do that. Like,
yeah. You know. I mean, I'm a bit bummed that BotCon shut down, just because, like, you know, I am a pretty diehard Transformers guy, and that was kind of a thing I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to make it out to a BotCon, and that won't happen now. But at the same time, I mean, it's not the end of the world, and I think it definitely leaves room for other people to kind of fill that hole, whether that's TFCon or someone else. I know Hasbro's doing their HasCon thing, but it's not Transformers focused.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then you've got the guys that were doing TFCon. This may be the way wrong name. Is it Pete Sinclair?
Yeah,
yeah. So he's doing his like Pete's Robot Show or something. It's called, where they're going to talk about like all the stuff they did running BotCon and show off like BotCon toys they didn't get to make and all kinds of other stuff. So they got that going too. You know, who knows where that's going to go?
Right.
So there are other shows out there, but I don't think we'll ever see an official show. Like, I don't think Hasbro's going to do an official show just for Transformers again. I think they'll stick to multi-brand
stuff
for a little while.
I wonder if they'll ever try to hook back up with TFCon. I mean, there was the rumor mill that they were going to try to work things out, but...
With Fun Pump?
With TFCon.
Oh!
Because back in the day... TFCon used to have Hasbro there.
I did not know that.
Well, that's a thing, like, because of the third-party stuff, right?
Yeah, they just stopped.
And that's the thing. I don't know if I would want to see Hasbro get involved in TFCon
absolutely.
Then again. Because there's no way they're just going to say, okay, just do it like you were doing it, and we'll come along. Like, there's going to be restrictions.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the whole thing with TFCon. Like, TFCon, it's a Transformers con, but really it's a third-party con almost.
Yep.
More than official.
And for me,
nobody goes
the
there
most,
for official
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly, and that's one of the most attractive things about it to me.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, if it's one thing if Hasbro came in and said, "Hey, this is what we're showing off,"
mm-hmm.
but you can also get it at these prices and buy it, right? But
yeah.
they never did.
If they wanted, you know, if they wanted to be. Let's call them a vendor, I guess, at TFCon. They don't change anything, but they're going to show their stuff alongside it.
Yeah.
That'd be okay. But if they're coming in at, like, a management level, that I can't see that being good for TFCon.
Absolutely.
No. No, and I think that's why the partnership ended, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's lucked out for guys like myself. You know, we're able to, you know, make some money happening and stuff like that. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah. For sure, for sure.
And I guess, well, you know, you asked us, what do you think, Eric?
I got to go to my first and only BotCon last year.
Okay. And
you know what? I've never been to any of the reviews or, like, I've never had a chance. So anything that's on in those shows, I never get... To listen, you never get to hear. I'm always working the tables and stuff, right? I mean, there's no chance. BotCon, I thought was interesting. It was kind of interesting how the layout was, how people were set up.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. I couldn't see it happening. Like, I couldn't see the success of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got everybody selling the same thing, right? Which, you know, happens at TFCon, right? But it's literally, okay, well, it's, you know, generations time. Everybody's selling Transformers Generation or whatever. It's all the same, right? So it gets hard to find something that's really, you know, unless you're like Art Fire. If you see Art Fire kicking around, then you can go and take a look at his table and, you know, see like things from the from the past.
Yeah.
Everybody's selling the same thing.
Yeah, they're just all offloading the stuff that they can't sell on the forums.
Exactly. Which is like, you know, kind of, all right, that's...
Yeah, how many more Transformers Prime Bumblebees do I need?
Well, yeah, Absolutely, right? So, I mean, I think with TFCon growing, I know it will grow. I hope people will start to see it as being something more legit, you know what I mean? I know people still sometimes have a hate on for the third-party groups and stuff like that, but, you know, it's... You know, life's about innovation and stuff like that, man. I mean, like, you know, people go out and buy new phones, right? Yep. You'll go buy the new Apple phone or whatever, you know, cred phone that's coming out, but you won't buy another Transformer that, you know, or a robot that looks like this guy because it's a different company making it other than Takara Tomy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guys, you know, Absolutely. Do you only buy Ford cars?
It's, you know what, it's interesting, too, because... If you look at, like, I mean, Transformers is one of few brands that kind of is isolated to one manufacturer, but if you look at, like, let's take another big brand like Star Wars. Star mm-hmm. Wars, you can buy Hasbro Black Series, $20, $30 a figure. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. You can then spend $60 to $80, you can buy a Figuarts Star Wars figure.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess, like, you could kind of say that that's the difference between buying, like, a Generations figure and a Masterpiece figure. But those are being made by the same people. This is two companies with one license.
Sure.
And, you know, one company catering to a more expensive, maybe more, I don't want to say refined, but I guess, like an audience that wants a little more out of their figure and they're willing to pay for it. Yeah. And that's the same thing with third party. You know, they're stepping up to fill a hole that the official companies can't or won't fill. And... In exchange, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. There's a lot of people that, like, you know, you post a third-party toy and people, they don't accept it as a third-party thing. They just want to call it a knockoff and hate on it or whatever. But, I mean, even official Masterpiece figures, you look at something like Megatron, that new Megatron that came out would not be anywhere near as good as it is now.
I agree.
If it wasn't for the third-party, you know, existing. Takara knows about it. Hasbro knows about it. They take notes. They see what works. And ultimately, your official mainline stuff benefits from it, too.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, well, I mean, nobody's losing, really.
No. I mean, if you look at the Sunstreaker,
yep.
They've gotten the alien mask that, you know, KFC has done.
Yep.
For their avoids. Right?
Yeah, you know what? Takara has stepped up their accessory game lately, and I would straight up say that's because of guys like X-Transbots and KFC.
Yeah.
Because that's for the longest time. I mean, TJ knows. I've talked his ear off about it forever that I wanted to see Masterpiece figures coming with Figma-style accessories with new faceplates and, like, swappable hands.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm getting that. Like, it's a dream come true for me as a Masterpiece guy. Like, yeah. to see swappable faceplates, like, that... It seems so basic now because we're, like, 6 or 7 releases now that have had them.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at older figures, like I look at, you know, Sideswipe or even Optimus Prime. Well, I mean, I guess Optimus Prime's a bad example. He's got a face. But so scrap that. But I mean, someone like Sideswipe or Prowl or,
yeah.
You know, all these guys, like they got these really expressive faces. And, you know, you want to recreate images from the shows, like as a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
Faceplates and things like that are almost a necessity to me. So... You know, and we have third party to, at least in part, to thank for things like that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see them kind of influencing the main brand, too, even if some people don't want to accept that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And to me, it's kind of weird, you know, to, I guess, brush something off as a knockoff. That mm-hmm. just bothers me.
Yeah.
Because I can understand, I mean, yeah. you know, IP infringement, this and that, but knockoff?
Yeah, everybody seems to have their own definition of the term, which seems to be the case. And it's, and you know, the line is kind of getting narrower, too, because you got these companies putting out, you know, knockoffs, I guess, for lack of a better word. But, I mean, a lot of these knockoff companies are now improving the figures before they release them. You look at, like, Wei Zhang and those guys, they're adding extra joints, they're refining transformation, you know, they're working, there's that one designer, Black Apple, that does all kinds of cool stuff. Like, he's working with these guys. So, like, the line between kind of KO and third party is really starting to get weird.
Well, the word is, you know, I mean, like, you know, your KO company now is the third party company.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, where's the line, right? Where does Wei Zhang become a third party instead of a knockoff company. Yeah. And now they're putting out that Megatron figure they have. That thing's, as far as I can tell, that's original to them.
Yeah, apparently it is an all-original figure.
Yeah, like with the little laser beak scope and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So, that's, yeah, like, I mean, I guess everybody has to draw their own line somewhere for themselves. And whether they like KOs, whether they don't, whatever, and kind of decide for themselves. But I think the, you know, I definitely see the kind of rampant name calling of just all third party as KO, and exactly. I just have to shake, I have to shake my head at that, because that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that is.
And you know, it is weird. I will say, when it comes to, I guess, some of the more, I guess, direct knockoffs, mm-hmm. it's cool that they are doing those things like the improvements and stuff,
uh-huh.
but then it's like it's kind of at the point where I see people literally say, "I'll just wait for the Ouija."
Oh, for sure, yeah,
yeah.
That's happens. Where it's like, happens.
I see that. Well, with Masterpiece especially, mm-hmm. right now, exactly. Every Masterpiece release already on the Sunstreaker ones, people are like, "Oh, you know, I don't want to pay like whatever the placeholder price place has have up like $120 or something," mm-hmm. and then people are already like, "No, I'll just wait for the KO." Like. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of nuts. But it, man, it is hurting the business. And I mean,
it is. Like, I don't want to disparage anybody who, like, I get it. You know, I stretch myself pretty thin sometimes trying to keep up with my collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I get it. If you can get a Masterpiece figure for $30 instead of $80 or more. I understand from like a fiscal perspective why somebody would like to do that, but I can't morally support that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though it'd be nice, like, I mean, I saw those knockoffs they did just recently. The Yes model, I think, did it. The like Make Toys Remaster Headmasters.
Yeah.
For like half price, and of course, all the reviews say like, "Oh, it's pretty much the same." And those are figures I want, but like I can't bring myself to get the KO. I'll just not afford it and not own them. That's fine.
Same. Yeah, that's fair. That's yeah. definitely fair.
Or Masterpiece Skywarp. That's a big one for me right now. It's my only missing like Masterpiece Seeker from the main three, and I don't want to pay $200 US for the real one, but I'm not going to pay $100 for a KO either. So I'm just not going to have Skywarp.
And that's kind of where I'm at too. And it's unfortunate because even with Coppola. I just rebought it from somebody not too long ago, and mm-hmm. the shoulders, like the hinge for the shoulders to make them like swing outwards or whatever,
mm-hmm.
crazy loose. And I was talking to some people, and I posted on that Cybertron Cafe or whatever Facebook
yep.
group
yep.
just about the issue, and it seems like that joint is just kind of floppy in general. But then somebody told me the Yes model.
It's got a ratchet or something?
It's a pin joint.
Oh, okay.
But it's just loose. You know, the arm at, I would say between like 0 and 45 degrees, it's just yeah. flops.
Oh, like even on the KO?
No. I heard on the KO it's better.
Oh, okay.
But it sucks because I'm kind of where you're at, and I'm like, yeah, yeah I'm just not going to buy it.
Yeah, and that's what I heard with the Seekers, too, because... Like, the Takara Seekers, you know, the mold is degraded. It's kind of renowned now for being a bit of a floppy mess. And, yeah, they say, you know, those Yes model Seekers are supposed to be, like, real tight. All the joints work nice. But, yeah, I can't do it. I think I'm going to wait and see how Make Toys, what is it, Howling Meteor or something?
Yeah.
They're Seekers. I'm going to wait and see how those come out. Because if those guys are fair price, I might just maybe get my Skywarp from there and then... see if I want to replace my other two or something.
And I think that's fair, because they look like, I guess, in terms of articulation and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
current
style. And they look like they'd fit, yeah. they look like they'll fit with the new kind of cartoon aesthetic, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they'd fit better with the new Megatron.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got. I know Make Toys, they do have their own design style, which I'm partial to it. But at the same time, when it comes to Masterpieces, I really like what Takara Tomy's been. I love it. I really love it. And, like, I love it to the point where I see people say they don't really like the cartoon AIM designs and stuff like that, and I'm just mm-hmm. like, what? It boggles my mind. I know it's a preference thing, but it's just so good to
well, me. I mean, you didn't even collect Masterpiece until...
No.
Like, what was
until,
it,
like, Inferno? And then I was like,
yeah.
fuck!
So that's the thing. For some people, that's the button it pushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just want to get on board, so... again, just like with all the third party, everybody's going to have their own style preferences. So.
Absolutely.
So. But it leaves a hole for someone else to fill, I guess.
Exactly. And that's one thing, you know, when it comes to masterpieces, I feel like Takara Tomy, they've got a good handle on it. I'm not saying there's not room for everybody, but it's that one area to where Takara Tomy, in my opinion, this is just, you know, me saying what I think, when Takara Tomy announces something, it's normally better than the previously released third party.
Oh, and everybody sells the third party, like, that day.
Yeah.
Look at all the bad Cube Sun Surges just flying through the cell groups.
And to me, you know...
And it's not a bad toy.
Exactly.
That's the crazy part.
But, you know...
But people want the official.
With classics, I think, you know, and again, this is just my opinion, I think since, like, the first line of Generations with, like, all the... Transformers, Cybertron, whatever the hell it was, Fall of Cybertron, like that kind of stuff, it kind of went downhill in terms of size, design, hollow
The second game. When it hit Fall of Cybertron, that's when the economy was rough, and I think it was, they blamed oil prices and all kinds of other stuff, and they started hollowing everything out.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, the deluxe size class got smaller. Exactly.
Which is fun, you know, it's funny too, because now the deluxe class is back up to close to that original size.
And that's why, you know.
But now things don't fit anymore.
I agree.
Like, the biggest one for me in my classes collection is the Generations Trailbreaker and Hoist.
Okay.
That came out, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Fantastic toys, like, very, very much based on the comic design.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny. Like, so small. They don't fit with anything.
Yep.
Except maybe Legends class.
It's
crazy.
But, you know, that's an area to where it's open for the taking of third parties. But they've strayed away from it, and everybody's going to Masterpiece. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah, even, you know what? One thing I've loved with third party, and now I see a lot of companies going back to it, but for the longest time they stopped doing it, was upgrade kits.
Yeah.
I love when a third party will add to an existing Hasbro figure. And again, that's win-win for everybody. Hasbro gets a figure sale, third party gets a sale, and then I get to kind of, you know, feel almost like I customized my figure, and then it's how I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, that Trailbreaker, I think a company was going to do it. Somebody could just put out some, like, boots for it, and it would be great.
Somebody was supposed
somebody
to.
Somebody was, and then they never came out.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was
X2.
X2 Toys did the backpacks already, right?
Oh, they did the backpacks. Okay, yeah, it was someone else then. Yeah, someone was doing boots that turned into like a trailer or something, and then they never.
I thought it was local, actually. I thought it was. I might be wrong on this, but I thought it was Echo.
Oh, Echo TF.
Yeah,
might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been
out in Ottawa. I thought he was supposed to make that.
Might have been. Yeah, as far as I know, I don't think they ever came out.
No, I don't remember it coming.
But lately, like, I mean, Perfect Effect, you got Perfect Effect, you got DNA, you got, like, a lot of guys are, like, SND and Beelzeboss and stuff all doing these cool upgrade kits now.
Yeah.
Like, I bought that white Combiner Wars Prime. I'm just waiting for that Nova Prime kit to come out, because that thing looks cool.
That's going to probably come out. The SND one?
No. The other guys.
Oh, okay.
I forget which one it was, but it's, like, it's basically a full conversion. Like,
oh, nice.
Adds the big wings and makes a trailer out of them and stuff.
Right, right.
It's probably going to cost more than just buying, like, MMC Nova Prime or something, though.
Yeah, I mean, those kits are pretty expensive for what they are, to be honest.
They are. I like the upgrade kits, but with the dollar how it is now, it's certainly hard to pick them up sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at guys like, let's say, Venkstra, Azeem and stuff like that, and he's doing garage kit type things, and he's manually doing everything, right? So, I mean, and, you know, he charges what I would say is a fair price for what he's doing, because he's doing this all manually.
Based on labor, he probably undercharges, but if he charged any higher, nobody would buy it.
Exactly.
So he has to sell it within a certain limit. Like, right. I bought some stuff from him. It's great quality stuff, but the man hours he puts into it, I guarantee you he's losing money if you're talking about hourly wage.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. But that's the thing. I mean, you look at these other big companies. Okay, so you're going to do plastic injection molding or whatever.
Yeah.
It's costing pennies, right? Yeah. Let's be honest. It's costing you pennies. and then you're charging, you know, like let's say Perfect Effect, you know, $42 a kit, $45 a kit.
Yeah.
For the hands and feet. Which is like, you know what I mean?
And that becomes $60 when you import to Canada.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's, well, actually, 45 retail is what I sell it at.
Oh,
so
okay, cool.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully yeah, that's good. That's good.
It was $60, but, you know, but still, it might as well be $60, to be honest.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a pill to swallow when it's a five piece of plastic, you know.
Most definitely.
For sure, yeah. Like, I ordered that Defensor upgrade kit that just came out, the C-plus one.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
It hasn't arrived yet. It's shipping. Oh, okay. I'm very excited for it. Photos look amazing. But I was doing the math on it, and by the time I paid conversion, I paid less for my whole team of Protectobots.
Oh, crap.
Than I paid for this kit. I mean, it's going to look great when it's all done, but, I mean, I was about two-thirds of the way to, like, a Make-Toys Defensor by the time I put it all up, you know?
Not cool.
But I would say
it'll look.
What was that one? The Defensor upgrade kit, the one that they are also doing for Victoria. Is that the one that you're talking about?
That's the one. Yeah, the C plus.
Yeah,
one,
that looks amazing. That looks.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm getting.
Okay,
that's the one I'm
getting. And, that.
Yeah, for me that actually nails Defensor's aesthetic exactly how I want.
Yes.
So I'm happy with it. I want him to look like if you played the Transformers Devastation game. He showed up for, like, a moment on, like, a monitor.
Okay.
And that's exactly how I want him to look. And that kit nails it perfectly.
And
so.
I like that look. It's really smooth. I don't know how to describe it, but it's, like, it's big, it's bulky, but it's not, like, there are almost, like, zero little lines and stuff like that through it and things like that. It's just perfect.
Yeah, like, it almost doesn't look like a combiner.
Yes.
Like if you didn't realize that parts of him are, like, different cars and stuff... It almost just looks like a big super robot.
That is actually a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really do like that. It actually makes me want to go get a Victorion to get that upgrade kit.
Yeah, I'll probably get the Victorion kit, too, but I'm going to see how the Defensor one goes first.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I definitely look forward to it, man. See the pictures and stuff, because it looks beautiful. And, you know, I'm looking at my combiners now, and with what Eric was saying earlier, you know, in terms of fans project, it's crazy because, like, design-wise, their Saurus Ryuo is so good-looking.
Yeah, it looks nice.
But it's so... I hate saying this because, like, I'm a big, huge Fans Project fan. Like, literally two of every single product they've ever made. But it's such a bad toy. Like, there are, like, little things. Like, the head not even having a spot that, like, locks in.
Mm-hmm.
The hips just being all kinds of messed up, like the legs not properly locking into place when it's in combined mode. There's just so many little things, and I know they went through some transitions with designers and stuff like that, but it's like, it's the little stuff, man.
Yeah. That sucks too, because, you know, nobody else is going to be making a Dino King anytime soon. So it's like, you either get that or you get nothing.
Exactly. The only problem is that Dino King was, Dino King was the Japanese version, obviously. We all know.
Yeah.
Okay. They did make Monstructor. Mm-hmm. There was Monstructor.
That's what I was wondering, too. Is that ever getting released?
No. No, the sales were a killer, man. I mean, like, that's the thing. Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say it'll never come out.
Yeah.
But it's looking very, very unlikely.
And that's what a lot of the Western fans were waiting for, I know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because Dino King isn't anything to them. But
yeah. But, yeah, the Constructor colors were, like, fantastic. Like, when that was in North Carolina where I saw them. And they were, like, absolutely fantastic. The colors were vibrant. They were great. But, yeah, it just with the sales being the way they are, I don't see that ever coming to fruition anymore.
That sucks.
And some of the monster modes were kind of gimpy, I'll have to admit. I'm a big Dino King fan.
I was going to say, I think the dinosaur modes weren't the selling point on that, on those toys.
It was just kind of bizarre, the way some of them were made. Kind of looked like I don't know if you guys follow this, but, you know, some sea creature that washes up on shore or something like that. They can't figure out what kind of animal it was. One of them looked like that, and it turns out it was just like a very drowned raccoon or something like that. And that's what it reminded me of. It was like, what is this? It's a drowned raccoon that I'm transforming. It was that bad, and I was just so disappointed with that one.
That's rough.
But, you know, you always hope for the best.
That was kind of a double whammy, too, because I know they got a lot of flack for the shells. Not including the shells, and then they were really expensive to buy them.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're going to...
Yeah, that was a rough thing for Fans Project.
Yeah. It's a couple of errors and stuff like that, for sure. For sure.
And it's hard for me, because it's like one of those things to where, with the shells, I wasn't a big fan of the shells, because I knew I wasn't going to actually utilize them as shells.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where it was kind of announced and talked about at a time where I had a lot more space, but I still took space into mine. And I was like, do I really want him flanked by a bunch of dinosaurs? No, I'd rather use that shell to him and Monstructor. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was kind of out of it from the get-go, but it seemed like one of those things where a lot of people were, I guess, rooting for it, but then not a lot of people actually backed it once they came into
fruition. Well, that's the thing. When it came down to, hey, you can get these, but you have to pay extra for them, that's where a lot of people got off the boat. You know, I think people wanted it to be an accessory. They didn't want to have to buy it separately. And the prices for the shells were like, I might be wrong, but they were pretty close to the same prices of the figures, weren't they?
A little bit more, actually.
Yeah, I think they were like.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Yeah, I can't justify that for like basically a pop figure of a dinosaur. Yeah. No, thank you. I can't do that. No offense to Fans Project, but I don't know what they were thinking with that.
Yeah, it's.
Well, I mean, could they have not have made it like a two-piece shell out of like plastic on a sprue or something for like $10?
Probably. I mean,
instead, because weren't they vinyl or something? Yeah, that's why they were expensive.
Vinyl like it was molded, right?
So, yeah.
And that process is expensive.
For sure. But I mean, maybe they shouldn't have gone with that process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like crazy. You know, there's a lot of things that. And this is a thing, though. They were coming out at a time where people were paying anything for third, right? So high time, right? So, you know, to fault them for it, yeah, you know, you should have, you know, kept it normal. But they were riding that same high that everybody else was riding. So,
That's that balloon we were talking about.
Yeah.
Or the bubble, you know. It pops eventually, and that's where it popped on Fans Project.
Yeah. I mean, the very first shell, I mean, I had some trouble selling it in Canada or in a Toronto show because, well, first of all, when they mailed it to me, they mailed it by air mail and express.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I just got hammered.
Yeah, that got elbow dropped by a postal worker.
Yeah, it was like, the customs on that was ridiculous, right? So by the time I was selling it, it was like $90 to $100.
Yeah.
Right, so it was expensive. I sold a few. We went down to North Carolina, and we sold quite a bit. Right, we sold quite a bit of those shells. So, I think the first shell was kind of successful. The fans were like, "Okay, this is pretty expensive, but hopefully, you guys can still do it." Type thing, right? And it just died right after that. I mean, it was probably because of the fact that it was taking so long. The figures, the actual figures were pretty...
Everything just lined up poorly, you know?
Yeah.
Just bad circumstance after bad circumstance. And
yeah.
That's what you're left with, unfortunately.
No, totally, for sure. I mean, and you know, it's still happening with some of these other third-party companies. And what they're doing, it's just like, hey, guys... Did you actually put some thought into it?
Well, for sure. Well, guys show prototypes for like 2 years and never release anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I see that sometimes.
Yeah. that new Megatron by, I can't remember the company name, but...
The Bold Forms, Gladius?
Yeah, the Triple Changer.
Yeah, that turns into like the modern pistol.
Yeah, the modern.
It's like a Glock or something.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about guns. So
is that the one that also turns into a tank?
Yes. Okay. The double barrel tank or the quad gun tank.
Yeah, that thing's been in proto for a while, but at least they're putting up pictures.
Yeah,
there was that one Jazz that just like disappeared.
Transform and roll out, I think.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, like that was like prototype. Like, they showed the same picture for like 2 years and then.
That was like the first Jazz that got shown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they always beat him to the punch.
I think it's still being made.
Is it really?
Yeah, I was talking to a guy in the industry, and he was like, I asked him, is this yours? He goes, no, it's just a friend of mine, and it's being produced. Can you see if you can get some orders for it, right? So I think it's still being done.
Interesting.
I mean, bold forms, it's taking a long time,
mm-hmm.
but he's one of those guys that wants to make everything perfect, but he's also listening to a lot of people.
That's good. I like the looks of that project. Like, I don't know, I can't say that I'm, going to commit to picking it up or anything, but I'd love to check it out. And I like the modern alt mode on it. It looks really cool.
It was scary, actually, yeah. Honest, because if you actually...
A little bit too realistic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a... I did a show with down in it was Chicago, where it was the Transformers kind of review group with mm-hmm. H3 and Up and a whole bunch of reviewers.
Yeah.
His name just escapes me right now. The guy who wears the mask.
Skullface.
Yeah, Bobby Skull.
Yeah, Uncle Bobby.
Yeah. So he's got the gun in his hand, and he even said, "Holy cow!" It seemed extremely real.
That's the guy I want to see with that gun in his hand.
Yeah, exactly.
That just fits. That fits. That seems perfect.
It was really well done, even at that point, which was only last year. But the reason he just keeps tweaking it because people keep telling him to do this, do that. Yeah.
That can be a double-edged sword, though.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
Listen to the community a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I forget who was that. I think that was Fans Toys or somebody had that with, like, one of their Dinobots. People kept saying to change a bunch of stuff, and then
they got fed up and just did their own thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
really,
pretty much.
Okay,
now they got to release a new one of one of theirs. They're like their slag. They're making a new one.
Hmm. Yeah,
because they don't like how theirs turned out. And I think, if I recall, I think some of that was due to like community input.
Yeah, you're making your own toy. Make it your own toy. That's
yeah. You're not designing by committee.
Yeah. No, totally. And I can understand constructive criticism, but, mm-hmm. you can't change everything. You can't make everybody happy, but people will still buy it.
Well, and if you take too long, that project will just die, right? I mean, you're going to run out of your own resources.
Yeah.
And retooling and all that stuff, and eventually, the interest is gone.
For sure.
So you can't do that.
I think Bolt Forms is actually making their figure now. Last I heard, he said they were at the manufacturing plant.
The production stage, that's cool.
Yeah, so hopefully we get to see that soon. And I know he's coming to TFCon this year.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. He may not have a table, but he'll be definitely visiting TFCon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hopefully we get some nice stuff at TFCon this year.
Now, I don't expect you to tell us any secrets or anything like that, but, being a retailer, you do know some stuff. Should we expect some pretty, pretty cool exclusives? I'll just keep it general.
I would say two exclusives.
Okay.
I think it's now become, I hate to say it like this, but, I mean, it's gone to a point where you cannot not have an exclusive at the
show. Yeah, you gotta have something.
Yeah. To have something, you have to have for that sure. Draw. Now, what the only problem is, and I hate to say it like this, but people really have to think of their exclusive. You know, you gotta really think about what you're about to put out.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause again, this is not just about you. It's about the industry. It's about the company that you are representing as well when you sell the product, right? So you know, the stuff that's coming in this year, two figures that I know of are going to be good.
Cool.
Ages 3 and up will definitely have their exclusive.
Also, they're doing a store exclusive. Okay.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. All right. I'm just pimping out Ages 3 and up here.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's all good. That's
so
good.
Hopefully, Boris won't get upset with me. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Boris definitely has one.
Yeah, how dare you advertise and tell people how good he is?
I'm going to say just like MMC might have one. Like he might.
I was going to say, I didn't want to, you know, put you into a corner, but I had a feeling MMC.
yeah, for sure. I mean, like, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, they're good. They're good stuff. And hopefully MMC will be able to do it. From what I know,
nice.
They're trying very, very hard. And I mean, MMC's got a very, very huge schedule going. I mean, they're releasing so many figures. Right, so
I will just say it better not be Coulter with an Autobot mask.
Oh,
damn! No,
I know. I've been seeing people joking about that all over the forums. Like that. On the one hand, that would be hilarious, but please no.
I would buy the shit out of that. Shattered
glass. Yeah, shattered glass. Okay, Tarn.
I really would, but I like shattered glass. Well,
it should be good. It's actually, I would be very surprised if it didn't sell out right away.
Cool. Huh. Let's not get you saying anything you're not supposed to say.
So. Oh, no, it's I haven't seen it yet, right?
So okay, fair enough. Seen it. Can't tell us what you don't know.
So. Exactly. But I do know they're working pretty hard at it. Cool. I don't have an exclusive. I think I learned my lesson when I did my little Target Master. Just
poor marketing. Cool.
It's poor marketing. That's what happened. I didn't even know I was going to receive it till, like, you know, KFC was working pretty hard and, you know.
Well, that makes it tough, if they just drop it on you day of. Right. Well, and that was, who was that? That was you, A3U, and...
Toy Dojo,
yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, they helped, you know, I did a lot of the work, you know, try to put a lot of effort into the box art and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, just poor marketing. You know, it just didn't get out enough. So
that's too bad, because that was a pretty cool little figure.
That's something you can stick on your desk and muck around all day.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, for me, that's, like, if I had been at the con, that's a thing I would have bought. But it's not something I would pay to have someone ship, if that makes sense.
No, it's absolutely.
Like, it's a perfect con pickup.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever saw one at a desk, I'd pick it up, no question, but.
Well, send me your address and I'll send you.
Oh, damn.
I'll send you the stickers too, right? So, I mean, you know, but, you know, that's the thing. People really have to consider what, you know, I'm saying this to the retailers out there. If you're going to be doing another exclusive for another company, you really got to think about it, right? Just don't
jump. Keep them involved.
Yeah.
Don't jump on them the day of.
You know, it's got to be something good, right? I mean, that's the one reason why I'm not doing an exclusive, right? And I've had offers, but it's like, well, why would I go up against, you know, Ages 3 and up? Because what they've got is strong, right? What they've got is strong. What MMC has is strong. So to try to take it away from it, just to put something out. No, it's gonna kill me. It's gonna kill my brand. It's gonna kill.
That's got to be all on the guys that want to make it.
Oh yeah,
not on you. You know, if they're taking all the risk and you just got to give it table space, that's not bad. But
that's never how it works. Right?
Yeah, well, of course,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I mean, it's
got to get something out of it.
Yeah. So I mean, this is just people, like, it's like, you know, common sense, really, right? You know, it's like, hey, if you're going to make, let's say, Planet X Gold, whatever his name's, Triptychon.
Yeah.
A gold Triptychon. It's like, hey, well.
Oh, good Lord.
Exactly, right? It's like, is that really a good idea?
That's not a thing that's actually happening, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. But I mean,
seems like a pretty far out there idea. I didn't know where you got that.
You know, but see, that's the thing. I mean, people, can you think about it first, right? Like, is that really a good idea, or are you doing?
I mean, the stealth Sphinx that they did, like, that makes sense.
Yes,
that's a slam dunk.
Absolutely.
As far as exclusives, but there's definitely been some stuff where it's like,
yeah.
Like I have a TFCon exclusive. What is it? The Toy World, like Fortress Maximus.
Oh, yeah.
But I have the TFCon exclusive, like, Grand Max colors.
Yeah.
I can't sell that thing for half a retail. I'd have to give it away, I think, to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's not a bad toy. It's cool, but...
Yeah. No, it's just... It doesn't fit the scale of anything.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just kind of lackluster, too. I mean...
Yeah. I just wanted a Fortress Maximus that I could put on my decks.
Yeah, makes sense.
All it came down to. But then I was like, when I got it, I realized it was the wrong colors. I tried to sell it or like trade it for the other one. I was like, oh, it's a con exclusive. This will be easy. No, nobody wants it.
Yeah, that was out in Chicago as well a couple of years back, right? So
yeah, 2014, I think.
Yeah, I bought one just because everybody was like, Eric, why don't you go buy something? And I was like, all right, here, I'll go buy it. And then we all looked at it, and I mean, like, even another third party company was hovering over it, and he's like, "Oh, maybe you shouldn't have bought it." It's
oh
like,
no!
Thanks. No, I'll tell you this. No. I was actually was working the TF Source booth because it was TF Source exclusive or whatever. When it was sold, every single freaking one of those things that we sold, people would like it would be the most awkward silence when they'd look at it. They just sit there and stare at the box. And it was literally at least like 2 minutes per person. And then I think it was just, this is an exclusive, so yeah, why not? And that's how every single person was, or purchase was. There was no person that was just like, gotta get that Grand Max.
Oh my god, that makes me...
It was just one of those things where people kept buying it, but I don't think anybody wanted it. They literally kept freaking buying it.
This is going to sound stupid, but I actually had that moment. I literally drove across the city to meet the guy I bought it from, a local dude. Mm-hmm. Drove all the way home, took it home, put it on my coffee table, opened it up, and I did the exact same thing.
Dude.
I stared at it for like 2 minutes, and I went, well, I guess this is mine now.
It was crazy. And, you know, like, when you're working the booth, Eric, you know this, people will try to ask you questions about it just to kind of get justification for buying it. And, I wasn't the biggest fan of the figure. I was just like, this is out of skill, this is weird, it looks like the G1 toy, too much. This is weird. So, I wasn't a big fan of it, so people would start asking me questions about it, and I was like, it's Fort Max, alright. And just keeping it simple. Because it's like, you're working the booth, so you don't want to cost anybody sales by saying, I wouldn't buy this
For
shit.
Sure.
But, you can't not answer what they were saying, you know what I mean? Like... You just got to keep it as basic as possible. But that was weird, man. It's one of those exclusives to where I didn't understand why it existed.
Yeah.
But people bought it because it was an exclusive. Like you were saying, Josh. Like, it was 8 hours of me watching people do that. Just stare at the box and, like, think about their life.
Well, I think a lot of those do that. Like, I mean, I can think a few of those TFCon ones. Like, there's the... What was it, Evilla Star or something? They did a con exclusive too.
Astro
and it's like, yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure people bought that, but I never see anybody talking about it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure there's a few others. Like, I mean, I don't want to just bust on Toy World. I realize both of those are them. But, you know, it's not just Toy World. It's other guys putting out figures, like, that just nobody cares about.
But I will say this, like, with Toy World, didn't they pretty much disappear until this year after that?
Yeah. They made some definite calculated errors.
Yeah, they ducked out for a year or two.
Yeah, like after that there was no toy.
They came back all Masterpiece gung-ho with their new Masterpiece stuff that doesn't fit with any other Masterpiece.
Like, here are Seekers that are like a foot taller than the rest of your stuff. Yeah. All right.
Like, yeah, you know Optimus Prime? You ever seen like a guy wearing on Optimus Prime cardboard box costume?
That was so weird.
Here you go. There you go. It's like a guy cosplaying Optimus Prime.
And, you know, I try to, like, on my Facebook page and stuff like that, I try to keep things pretty, I guess, down the middle.
Yeah.
But even with that one, when I shared pictures of it, I just wrote, I don't understand the existence. Like, I just had to be straight out. Uh-huh. And of course you had those people that were like, well, it fits into this and that. And then it's like, are you actually going to buy it? Well, no, but I could see... No, you're part of the problem.
Yep.
You are why
people making stuff exist? because it existed once.
Exactly. That was just a but weird... nobody's paying for it. Weird thing. You know, and speaking of Seekers, one set that I will say is timeless... Eric, I asked you about, you know, stuff that you find memorable about collecting throughout the years. For me, mm-hmm. the iGear Coneheads...
Yeah.
To this They're day... Nice. Are hot stuff. I love those things, man.
Which Coneheads? Are you talking about the first one or the actual the three pack?
The first ones, the Masterpiece scaled ones. I know they all had the same names. I remember
yeah.
the classic size ones had the same names as the bigger ones, but I'm talking about the original Masterpiece, the ones that came out and there was like a clear a T2 ramjet and stuff like that too.
Yeah. Well, those were I couldn't believe how expensive those got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those got crazy.
Just jumped in price. And I mean, to this day, I still Look, see it pretty high.
They're still expensive because even the official cone heads are like $250 each.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the price on those iGears isn't going to drop.
I think they retail for like $100.
No.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is, they've made KOs of the iGear. Oh, I mean, of the cones. Yeah, they made KOs of the cone heads. Yeah. So it's kind of weird. I mean, at least I'm pretty positive because I've been asked to get it. So I mean, I just kind of refrained from doing that one. But yeah, I mean the iGear Coneheads were nice, but I preferred their second Seeker set, the three packs. I thought yeah. those were really really nice, but because they were three packs, people just did not want to pick them up.
Which one was that? The like the Voyager ones?
No,
the Raptors or whatever.
Yeah, the Raptors. They were a little larger than Voyager, I think.
Yeah, I like the looks on those guys. They had, the faces actually was what kind of held me back on those because they were nice kind of IDW style Seekers, but I remember the faces kind of
like concave the faces.
Yeah, yeah, like the same problem that KFC Perceptor. That thing's like a perfect Last Stand of the Wreckers Perceptor, except it looks like he got punched in the face.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know what's up with that face. Everything else looks great, but that keeps me from buying it, and that kept me from those iGear Seekers, too, because they look nice.
And it's weird because it makes, like, the shadows hit weird on them and stuff like that, the face. Like, you can tell it's got that slope to it.
Yeah.
So, nope, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Face sculpts are tough. I think that's a conversation for another day.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a whole pod on that, I think.
And it's crazy how many figures, though, without going into detail or whatever, that are just so perfect besides the faces.
Except for the face, yeah. Official and third party, but more so third party, to be honest.
I agree.
Takara and Hasbro got their face sculpt game on point.
I agree. Completely agree. And that's one of the things with like the Masterpiece lines where, engineering-wise, I think third parties are right there. I think that... Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff that third parties do that Takara Tomy still does it when it comes to their Masterpiece line. But those faces and stuff like that, it's crucial because it's what you look at.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why the official comes out and then a lot of people sell their third party stuff, you know? Like, I'm looking at guys, like, I can tell you one figure I have. I have multiple copies of it because I have the TF Con exclusive and stuff.
Okay.
The Ocular Max Sphinx.
Okay.
Fantastic figure. In my opinion, I really can't see Takara putting out a figure that is better. But I guarantee you they're going to put out a better face sculpt.
That makes sense.
And the face sculpt on there is not bad, but it's not quite right. Like, it's just, it's so close.
Mm.
And it's like a 99.9 out of 100 figure. And it's just that 0.1 is just the kind of not quite right face.
And I think that's fair. I haven't had any experience with Sphinx at all, but everybody says that it's just fantastic. So,
no, it's wonderful.
And it looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one thing that I will say that Takara Tomy has gotten really good with is transformations too.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that engineering point, I know that there's a certain niche of fans and stuff like that. They really need to feel like that transformation is like a battle to where.
Yeah, they want the Rubik's Cube transformation.
One man, I'm putting this on a resume. But it's like, for me, I just want to be able to wear, and this is where Fans Hobby really gets me. I take a minute or two and transform a Fans Hobby piece or whatever.
Yep.
No frustration. No small little, like, this has to be turned just right or else, like, this is going to break. And, you know, you just transform it. It goes from a robot to a bot, and you haven't wasted a half hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I did Gunfighter without the instructions. The only thing I had to look at was popping, like, the wheels down. Because I didn't realize you could do that. And then I once I did that, everything else was all, like, super simple, straightforward. And it, as a photographer, and you'll understand this, CJ, like, I do appreciate a complex transformation if it's fluid.
Yep.
But ultimately, as a photographer, you know, I sit down, I spend 2 hours shooting a figure. I don't want to spend another hour transforming it. And then sometimes I'll straight up skip photos. Like, I'll transform a guy and then realize, oh, I forgot to take a picture of, like, this gun mounted on the alt mode.
Yep.
Well, guess they're going to someone else for that.
Exactly.
Because I'm not doing
it. Not the same way, even when it comes to videos and stuff like that. There are times to where, just because I don't want to be bothered with transforming it back and forth and this and that, to where I won't even do, like, a video review for days.
Yeah. It's that some figures it's almost worth buying too.
Yep.
Just so I never have to transform them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hate to say it, but you look at, like, MP36 Megatron. As great of a figure as it is, what you get out of that goddamn transformation, I don't think it's as good as what you get out of the Make-Toys transformation that takes way less time.
It's a long... I mean, even the DX9 transformation has some cool tricks that I kind of like better than the official.
Exactly. And, you know, MP36, and then you look at the alt mode, and I hate to say it, but those panel, like, I don't know what's the official term for it? All those lines to it and stuff like that.
Seam lines?
Okay.
Panel lines? Seam lines? Either one.
But, you know, like, they're not official panels, so I'll say seam lines, because that's what they are.
Seam lines.
You know, plastic and stuff like that. It's just not a very clean alt mode. And it's like, holy shit, I spent 30 minutes for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where... And of course, that's the first time. I'm not saying you've transformed it 50 times and you're still spending that amount of time on there. But it's one of those things to where if I'm spending that kind of time, it better be immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of where I'm at. But it is what it is. But it's kind of one of those things where... We're in a spoil of riches to where we're at a point to where that's what we're complaining about. And now it's
a little bit spoiled.
Exactly. And I even, when I did Gunfighter or whatever, at the end of the video portion, I had Gunfighter, I had MP10, I had MP30, whatever the hell Optimus Primal is. I believe I took down Perfect Effect, the Beast Guerrera, or whatever, because even though it's classic to me, a lot of people call it Masterpiece, so whatever. Yeah.
I think it could be either.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not going to argue it, because I get it.
Yeah. Beast Wars characters were small, so you can kind of cheat it.
But makes sense.
And it's one of those deals where, like, it's such a spoil of riches, to where we not only have MP10, but now we've got a Laser Optimus Prime that in Masterpiece scale? That's fucking crazy. Or
the fact, I'm still getting over the fact we have a Masterpiece Optimus Primal.
Yes.
Like, that shit is... I never, in my wildest dreams, third party or official or anything, I never thought I'd have that. And then on top of that, now we have Cheetor, we're getting Dinobot, and who knows what we're going to get.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's the thing, you know, Takara Tomy is responsible for a lot of this. So for me, you know, third parties, if you're listening, I'd like to see more classics, because that's where there are a lot of gaps. And even though, it seems like Hasbro is... renewing licenses and stuff all the time. But then when you see the actual figures, it's something stupid. Like, why is Sound Blaster or Blaster a fucking Headmaster? Pardon my language. But the gimmick...
Well, that's just a line gimmick, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know,
everybody
it's
is.
At that point where... Now, first it was Combiners. So there are 1,000,001 shared molds and stuff like that. So where Wheeljack is the same as... I don't even know. I believe it was the same as, like...
Breakdown.
Was it Mirage as well, or no?
Nope. Wheeljack was Breakdown, and then he was... he's in the Victorion set. There's one of him.
Jesus Christ. And, you know...
Oh, and Sunstreaker. He was Sunstreaker.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like one of those deals to where Wheeljack was not Sunstreaker style of Lamborghini. Like, what?
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to those unique style toys and stuff like that, even though the reveal of the shield was good, I'd really like to see a third party do a classic Wheeljack.
Uh-huh.
I'd be more than freaking okay with that. I don't know where the Classics collecting community is. I don't know if those are big sellers at all. Eric, maybe you can...
People are still buying. I just had somebody drop off a few figures for somebody else, and he's buying Classics. The last BotCon, you know, there was a ton of sellers still selling Classic figures, and there were still people buying them,
yeah.
Right? Even at the prices that they were selling at, and they're not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but they're like 30-40 US a piece, right? So, you know, they're still selling. I mean, people are still buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And those figures, like, the thing about the Classic figures is you can take it down off the shelf and you can mech around with it and you'll be fine. Whereas with the Masterpiece, it's like, okay, well, now you're really starting
to dedicate some time to it.
Yeah. And you're starting to put some wear on it and stuff like that. So, I mean, and people also realize that the price, like some people who are collecting the Masterpiece realize, okay, well, I'm spending like $100, let's say, on a figure. I'm going to treat it a little bit better than what I would with a $25 figure.
Yep.
Right? So, mm-hmm. It's definitely, people are being a little bit more conscious of it. But, the Chug figure, Chug lines still exist. Still, people are still buying it. I mean, if they're still buying the, what's that line that's out right now for Hasbro? The Headmaster series, yeah, the Titans Returns. They're still buying it. That still fits in the Chug line, right? Yeah.
And you know, honestly, like I actually collect that line, and that's actually some of Hasbro's best work. I think a lot of people are turned off by the fact they're Headmasters. But the actual engineering that goes into some of those toys is pretty impressive for mainline stuff.
I liked it until when I saw them at BotCon, I was like, holy cow, this is amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened up Skullcruncher. And oh my god, everything was just pop, pop, pop. You know,
wow.
I don't need to transform it.
You know what? If you want to give it another chance, like I will say, as someone who has most of the line, Skullcruncher is probably the worst figure in the line.
Oh, I see.
If you can get some hands on time with like a Titans Return Topspin or Trigger Happy,
mm-hmm.
those things are phenomenal. Skullcruncher is really like probably the bottom of the barrel.
Oh,
for
wow.
for the line, unfortunately. So if that's where you're judging it from, I totally get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But see if you can get some time with maybe something that's a little nicer, because that guy is not representative of what they're doing right now.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Top Spin or Trigger Happy, if you can even just mess with someone else's, I think you'll see those guys are leagues ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Why not?
And I will say, you know, with that, is it Titans Return, the Headmasters?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I wouldn't say a nail in the coffin, but that's when people really started to kind of evaluate where Fans Project was at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, I remember Fans Project was in the middle of their releases or whatever. They hadn't released, like, the full line and stuff like that. They still had a couple
of yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Hasbro was coming out with all of these Headmasters, and arguably, there were a few of them that looked better. Like Chrome Dome, for example. There were no comments.
Not only that, but by Wave 2, you can get all 7 of the original Headmasters,
yep.
which Fans Project still hasn't achieved. And you can get them all for the price of, like, 1 Fans Project.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I did. I wanted the Fans Project Headmasters for so long, and I just kept putting it off. By the time I was ready to buy, I ended up just getting all the Titans Return ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not... I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're as good as the Fans Project ones. That's not at all what I'm saying.
Well,
but
for the
price I paid, and for what I can look up right now and see on my shelf and see all 7 OG Headmasters, I'm happy.
Absolutely. And I, you know what? When it comes to bang for the buck, that's a real factor, especially when it comes to lines of figures.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean... Fans Project, man, I love them. I love their design style and stuff like that. And there's stuff of theirs that I will never, ever, ever get rid of. Like, just put it in the casket with me. You know? But, man, I just really hope that they get it together. You know, and I know I brought up Fans Project kind of randomly there, but I'm kind of partial towards them. You know, they got me, like a lot of people, into the third-party game. And, you know, having met people like Boris, Signy, etc., etc., there have been a lot of good people behind that line.
Yeah, well, that, and they're one of the first, one of the first, if not the first, third parties, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it'd be, you know, it'd be nice to see them kind of get back on their feet again, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think just because of their name brand, the fact that, you know, even this far out, people are still kind of talking about them and hoping that they get it together and we start seeing some good things, that says a lot about the stuff that they've done for the community.
No, I would suggest if people are really that interested, they actually do something about it. You know, I mean, like, social media is now, obviously, you can do a lot of things with social media. You know, I repaired, you know, a contact I had with, you know, Bad Cube. Like, I had stopped carrying Bad Cube for a long time. And I basically, what I did was I got people on social media to get them to contact me, right? So they contacted me, we repaired our relationship, and now we're fine, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, I mean, like, with Fans Project, it really is important that, you know, the fans actually speak out and say something to FP. You know, FP Core can, like, FP Core is not Fans Project. People have to understand that. FP Core is only a division, you know, that helps out, helps marketing of the FP, right? But, you know, we, sorry, I kind of slipped there, but, yeah, FP Core, if you, you know, throw in all the, you know, all the, you know, hey, you know, we really appreciate you guys and stuff like that to, you know, FP Core will send it to Fans Project. Right, so that at least they understand that Fans Project is a brand that you know, people still want to see, and they're hoping that he comes back around, right? And I think that would be the most beneficial, and it, obviously it'd be a nice little social experiment, but I think it would be beneficial that he knew that his work is appreciated.
Well, that's good for sure. Yeah, most definitely, you know, because that is one thing to where guests, especially with experiences that people have had with, like, Fans Project Core and things like that, knowing that your voices are actually heard, that's good to know, because I think a lot of people were turned off by feeling like they necessarily weren't necessarily heard, you know? And unfortunately, since they did carry Fans Project products, you know, people kind of made Fans Project Core synonymous with it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those deals to where, yeah, I'm definitely gonna make a post on that about on Facebook about people being heard and, you know, like that kind of, I'll make that happen. That's awesome.
I mean, it's you know, and that's the thing about FP Core. People do, like, you know, I talk to the FP Core people and, you know, everything, all the comments and whatever, yeah, it's listened to. The people hear it, right, see it, and the message is relayed. It's just what comes of it. You know what I mean? It might be those one-offs, and a lot of times that's what it is. It's a one-off, right? People make a comment about this or that, right? You know, but, you know, it's a very different thing to say when, you know, you have a bunch of people actually coming in and saying, hey, this is actually, you know, we miss you. Can you come back? Right?
Yeah.
That's totally something different. Or, you know, where you have a whole bunch of people say, hey, that figure you're about to put out really, really needs some work. Right? And you know, those companies will listen to that. Right? So it's
yeah. Just, you know, be constructive about it. Don't just message them and be like, hey, that looks like a piece of crap or something.
Well,
there's so much of that in this fandom.
It's
like,
toxic.
And that's, be respectful, you know, realize people, these are real people working on real things, and they're doing it for you.
Absolutely.
They're not, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a business, they want to make money, but ultimately, most of the guys in this community are fans too, and they're trying to make the toys that they want to have.
Yeah.
So approach them the same way you would, you know, another collector. Don't approach them like they're Walmart.
No, absolutely. See, that's the thing. I mean, what people fail to understand is, I think with third party companies, these are fans, right? They're mm-hmm. fans that make these products. And it's a lot of hard work, right? I mean, you guys are photographers. Mm-hmm. You know how much work you put into your setup, mm-hmm. getting the lighting right, getting this right, taking the photograph, not liking it, redoing it.
Yep.
You know, some people will Photoshop, add up some extras, you know, just to touch up. It takes a long time, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, it's the same thing for an artist who's creating something, right? They're putting a lot of effort into making something that looks right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people to be like bashing, that happens a lot, you know, it's pretty, it's like, guys, man, I mean, you think about it. There's another human being there.
Yeah. There's a respectful way to say, you know, that maybe you don't like something or something could be improved, but
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
This kind of flame war mentality that people have.
It's yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, it is going on, I don't know how many hours and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're around the two-hour okay, mark. Cool. We've run it long.
Minus a couple yeah. of technical issues there, I would say that this has been a success for sure. And hopefully we can have you on, you know, in the not-too-distant future, man. Like, I would love to have
Great.
You back.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'd love to chat with you more.
Man.
Guys... Great.
But you know what, Eric, just one more time, I'd like you to, if you have actual, like, HTTP addresses, even for your Facebook page, man, go ahead and lay it out now for people that maybe don't necessarily look at the links and stuff like that.
I don't even...
Oh, okay,
I
no
mean,
problem.
Is, yeah, Madhouse... I mean, if you're on Facebook, Madhouse Toys.
But I will say this, even. Madhouse, mm-hmm. it's Madhouse, right? It's like H-A-U-S.
Yes, way of spelling okay. it. M-A-D-H-A-U-S. Dot toys. Sometimes I go under collectibles, but mainly it's Madhouse Toys.
Just so that people mm-hmm. are typing in Madhouse and getting some kind of whatever.
So yeah, I've made that mistake. I never realized a lot of people were doing the house thing.
Yeah.
Like there you go.
It's easy for me because I see you all over Facebook all the time. So, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, kind of popular.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just pop in there and, you know, say hi, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions, too, you know.
And again, you will be on hand at TFCon, right?
Yes, I will. And like I said, if you come on down, please join in with the I'll have you in with the TF review type thing with Boris and whatever reviewer we can get. We'll do some reviews and check out some toys and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was fun last time, man. And some of the ideas that you had for improving the format seemed really cool, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I might be able to speak this time.
Hey! You know. It is kind of your thing, so yeah, that'd be nice.
No, I got, like, I saw somebody wrote that, you know, he literally said, that guy in the corner didn't say anything. It's like, dudes. First of all, it was like 12 o'clock at night after a long show. Not saying anything, right? So, but yeah, we'll try to make it exciting for everybody and, you know, stop in and say hi. I'd love to have you guys here and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It was fun, man. And that's the thing about TFCon. You know, I'm sure people have their little whatevers online and stuff. And on my end, I guess I really don't have problems with people because I kind of take a step back. I just post photos and whatever. But it seems like when you get to the conventions, a lot of that squabbling you see on the message boards and stuff like that disappear. You know, so...
Yeah, keyboard warriors.
Yeah, and, you know...
Everybody's different behind the
just
keyboard.
Just putting that out there because with BotCon kind of dissolving and more people coming to TFCon, there may be that fear that, there are those, like, attitudes and things like that. Totally not. It's one of the most welcoming crowds that I've ever seen.
So... Yeah, really good. I mean, it's the fandom. Everybody's still, you know, it's like going to a nice baseball game, right?
Yep.
So it's like everybody likes to root for the team. Everybody might not like to root for the other team, but it's, you know, no fights break out.
Not at all. Like, I haven't even seen, like, a verbal argument at one of these stupid conventions. So, no. And one thing I will say about the Canada one in particular... last year, me and the missus, we actually went to the Grand Canyon and stuff like that, and, you know, did the bar thing and stuff, and it was fun. Toronto's actually a really nice city. Like, the way I describe it to people is it sounds like a DJ mixin', but like a really clean Chicago, where everybody's just nice. It's like Bizarro World Chicago, and way bigger, too. Tons of stuff to do, no matter what you're into. I remember touring actual Toronto. Tons of, like, anime shops and stuff like that. Just millions of Gundams and things like that at retail. It's really cool. Toronto's really awesome. So, you know, I can't account. I think this next one, the U.S. one's in Washington?
Yes.
Washington. Is it, like, Washington, D.C.?
Yes. Okay. Like, I was Washington.
Gotcha. So, hey, go... check out the White House or something. I don't know. I've never been to Washington, D.C., so I can't say what there is to do there. But I think I'm actually going to hit this one up, and I look forward to checking it out. So, yeah. Hopefully I can make Canada, too, because, yeah, a lot of my friends go. It'll be good to see them and things like that, you know, especially having missed Chicago. And, yeah.
Yeah, I got to make it out there one of these years.
Gosh, you must. It's so...
I know.
Drinks on me, man, if you ever do. Like, if you do, it would be a guarantee that I would. Not even... I'm serious, man.
Oh, believe me, I'd let you know. Yeah, I'd let you know. Yeah, man. This year's looking tight, but I'm going to try to start saving for next year. Because I got to get out there.
I think WestJet does a very good cheap plan to,
some of the
places. Because they start flying to the States now, right? So you can probably get some good deals through WestJet. And I think WestJet does Washington as well.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's actually funny. It might even be cheaper for me to go to TFCon US than to go to Toronto.
So crazy.
Flying within Canada is so expensive.
Yeah.
Like,
where are you flying? You're in Calgary, right?
Yeah, I'm in Calgary, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're still probably paying about $1,200.
Last year I priced it out for me and my girlfriend to come up. It was round trip on the flights was like $1,500 or something.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like on top of that, you need hotel and food and spending money and stuff. And I was like, I want to get out there. I want to, you know, meet and greet and get connected with the right people and stuff. But that's an expensive weekend.
Yeah, that's, definitely expensive. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe I'll just take a bus out or something.
I've driven. I've done stupid things like that. Like, I've driven to Chicago a couple of times, drove down to North Carolina. That was a bad trip. 17 hours of straight driving. Went to Kentucky, Louisville, drove down there. Yeah, never again.
anything once, right?
Yeah, but, it's a rough drive. But the bus from Calgary to Toronto shouldn't be that bad. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Yeah. You can always do Via Rail.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, all right, and now we've learned some stuff about travel.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I'm like, oh, wow, when you said Toronto to Chicago, and I'm like, no shit, I make that drive every year up there. Why am I saying wow? I know the drive. it's very weird. There was no reason for me to say that. Like, what the fuck? So, but, you know, for me, it's not bad. It's, I guess I'm used to a lot of busy, crappy city traffic. And the drive to Canada, it's literally three highways. And you take them each for like 3-4 hours apiece. So for me, that's really light, especially when you've got a lot of four-way highways or four-lane highways and stuff like that. Because, you know, here in the Midwest, like, traffic just sucks. And a lot of highways are always under construction and this and that. So it's just, it's crappy. So to actually have a free, long drive to where you can listen to music and think, for me, that's a dream. Like, I look that shit up, but it's what it is. Different strokes for different folks, whatever. I'm weird. So, but anyway, I will let you get to it, Eric. Awesome having you on.
Thank you so much.
Again, guys, Madhouse Toys, check him out on Facebook. He said he really doesn't update the website too much, but, you know, you can send him messages and stuff like that if you have any requests or wondering if anything's in stock, like those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously... cool with talking to people and things like that. He's a big fan of the community. The community's a big fan of him, and so am I. I'm glad to have had him on.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And Josh, you know, in terms of Plastic Spark photography. Let's not forget that. You've got Gunfighter 2 coming up, right?
Like in yeah, yeah. I'm editing and processing right now, so I'm hoping to have that up either Friday or Saturday here. It's the June 1st right now. So hopefully for the 2nd or 3rd I'll have that up.
Look forward to it, man.
Got lots of other stuff in the pipeline, but that's the main thing I'm working on right now.
Cool. And for anybody listening, you know, we're going to try to get back on a regular recording schedule. You know, with me, I was gone on military leave for 6 months, so a lot of stuff. I'm still reviewing toys and shit from last year because I came home to a mini toy store's worth of stuff. A blessing and a curse. You know, first world problems, but I'm just catching up in general, back into the swing of work, life, and all that balancing and this and that. So now that things are cool, I'm cool to record. Got the Skype on, got the Skype recorder, and all that stuff, and honestly, I like it. It's my chance to, you know, hang out with my friend Josh, and also when we have these guests on, like Eric, it's cool to get to know some of these people that, you know, you interact with them for maybe sales and things like that, but it's cool to get to know people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've bought a few things off of Eric here, but I've never been able to sit down and talk with him, so it's been real nice to have that opportunity.
Really?
Yeah.
See, there we go.
Well, I usually get you to pass it off to Chris out there, Bonkers.
Oh, okay, now I...
Yeah, he ships a bunch of stuff to me, so I usually just get him to pick it up from you.
Okay. And we gotta have Chris on. Bonkers,
oh, for sure.
Photography, this for dude sure. has literally helped me out with toys that I was looking for and stuff like that. He's just...
Oh, yeah, he's a great dude.
What's the nicest guy on the planet. Like, he's so nice that when I first started interacting with him, I'm like, this guy's gotta be fucking shitting me. Like, these LOLs can't be fucking real. Like, nothing's that funny. But no, he's really just a jolly, happy motherfucker. And it makes me happy to talk to him. You know what I mean? It's awesome. He's so freaking nice, man.
Well, you're slowly surrounding yourself with Canadians. It'll start rubbing off on you.
You know what? It's really weird because, like, I'm pretty blunt when it comes to the online interactions. But in person, you know, anybody who's interacted with me will tell you, I'm a very nice guy, like almost nice to a fault. And it's funny because when I go to Canada, people ask me if I'm from Canada because I'm nice. And crazy that kindness is associated with
That's a compliment Canada. If you're in Canada.
Yeah, like people actually ask me that quite a bit up there. And you know,
it's the opposite. You go down to America when I went to Disneyland and if you're overly polite and holding doors and stuff, people think something's wrong with you.
And that's how it is here. And I'm one of
I got that a couple times.
I'm one of those people to where if I look you in the eye, I don't care if I've never seen you in my life. I'm saying hello, good afternoon, and things like that. That's just how I am, and it makes me comfortable. You know, I don't like just being around strangers in complete silence when I'm in, I guess, that space, physically or whatever, especially, you know. That's just weird. Like, why are we in the same shopping aisle, like 2 feet from each other, and we haven't said a word, you know, especially if we've made eye contact. You know, I'm not going to tap you on the back like, hi, how's it going? But if we're in passing, we make eye contact, good afternoon. And it's so weird to me that, like, at times, you'll actually get weird looks. You know, like, in the South, things are a little bit different. Texas, man, I loved BotCon 2012 because it was in Dallas, Texas, my favorite place on the planet, and everybody's just super nice. No matter who it was, they're walking past you. Hey, how's it going? Good afternoon, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's out walking. You could tell they were used to seeing people. And I guess with, like, city folk, like here in the Midwest, we kind of live lives to where, yeah, it's city, but it's not a lot of walking around and things like that. Because, you know, weather and, I guess, things being spaced out between neighborhoods and this and that. People just get around each other and act like they've never interacted with people before. It's so weird. It's so really weird. But yeah, I love Canada because, man, like, everybody's super duper kind. I remember my first TFCon, I left a VGA cable or something like that to my computer because I'm an idiot without a laptop, so I bring this big bulky desktop up there every year. Left some kind of cable, went to Office Max up there, and they were like, we don't have one for sale. And then the manager came out and he was like, hold on, sir. Went to the back and they just got me one that they had lying around. It's just little stuff like that to where I don't know. It's a certain, I don't know what the word for it is, but hospitality that you don't see here.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like, you know, I know I'm shilling Canada pretty hard, especially not being from there. Probably seems weird to some people listening to this, but it's like night and day, folks. If you haven't experienced Canada, do it. Just everything about Canada. It's awesome. It's really nice. So, I don't know. I'm sure maybe Eric and Josh here have a different perspective living there every day. But,
no, it's okay. Great.
Thank you. All right.
Great. Yeah.
See, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's better than most. We'll put it that way.
And it's crazy about Canada. I pointed out something to Liz. Like, we were driving from TFCon to the Grand Canyon or whatever. And, like, you drive around Chicago, it's a lot of highway traffic. Chicago's pretty big, so people have to take the highway sometimes to even get to work in Chicago. And you'll see, like, those occasional just beat-up, old, like, 80s vans with rust everywhere and stuff like that. I shit you not, in Canada, we did not see a car that looked like it was below a 2000 on the highway. Just everything's nice. You could tell, like, the economy's decent and stuff like that. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. Might be a little different.
Oh,
now.
Okay. That, all right.
Dollar's not exactly doing great.
And you know what? Since we're
that's the one thing that sucks. Nothing about living in Canada sucks, but shopping and importing and buying in Canada kind of sucks.
Now, just really quick, if it takes too long, we could do another show. And Josh, you're from Canada, so you can answer this anytime. But is there any way, in layman's terms, to, I guess, relay why the Canadian dollar's so bad? Did something happen up there in particular to drop?
I'm not an economist, so I don't really know for sure. I think it has a lot to do with oil, and I think a lot of it's tied to the American dollar, too. Like, when the American dollar does well, we just tend not to do well. I don't know if that actually is a correlation, but
I think it's actually quite true.
Yeah.
I mean, when the American dollar was doing poorly, we were obviously doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't sit well, right? It just doesn't. And the fact, I mean, this is a whole can of worms, like, really. You know, Canada is pretty silly in what it does sometimes. Like, you know, where we have oil, but to refine it, we send it to the States.
Yeah, we don't keep any of it.
And then we pay for it to get sent back to us, right? Oh. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, some weird choices.
Yeah.
We sell too much of our stuff out elsewhere and buy it back.
Yeah.
Like, not just oil, but everything, all kinds of resources.
We don't have our own infrastructure. There's not a proper way of, you know, we don't have, things are just not in place when they should be.
Gotcha.
That's all it is, really. Yeah. And we only have 35 million people in Canada, right? So, yeah, as opposed to, yeah.
But you guys have free health care.
No, we still pay for it.
Ish, okay. Free-ish, yeah. Subsidized, I guess you'd call it.
I gotcha. So it's one of those things where
it comes out of our paycheck as well, depending on how much you make.
Yeah, it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah, it's all in taxes and stuff. All right,
that's fair enough. But that's cool, man. Like, honestly, I'd love to learn more about that, but this isn't the place for it, so I'll do some Googling.
Yeah.
But anyway, Eric, thank you very much for your time tonight. It's been a pleasure. Josh, as always, man, good to hang out and chat with you. If you guys have any questions, you can email me, info@kumastyledesigns.com. This will be on kumastyle.com. Josh, do you have any links, info, anything like that you want to share?
Well, just keep an eye on the site, I guess, plasticsparkphotography.com. Yeah. And check us out on Facebook, Plastic Spark Photography. You'll see a link to Madhouse's page on there, too, I just put up.
Oh, thank you.
And we should have this pod up once you're done with it
TJ. Absolutely. I actually am organized now, so this should be up by, it's already midnight here, by today or tomorrow, the 2nd or 3rd. So, yeah, we'll awesome. Keep it relevant this time around. There's no, we recorded this last week, and things we're talking about are out and spoiled and, you know.
Yeah predicting things like, that have already been released.
Podcast from the 60s. Why don't they know this?
Hello, welcome to
podcast. Exactly. Like, all right, Marty. get with it.
Yeah.
So, all right. You guys have a good one. Thank you guys very much
for your
time.
Thanks.
And everybody out there, thank you very much for listening, and hopefully you continue to. If you guys have any questions or guests that you want to see, contact me, Facebook, YouTube, any of it. My website, just get a hold of me. You know how I get comments all the time about stupid stuff. Give me something relevant, and we'll be glad to oblige. See you guys next time, and this has been CollectorCast. We're out.